two, three, four. Turn your lights down, way down low. But turn up that radio. It's Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. Every night there's something new. You never know just.
So happy to be here.
We made it.
I'm so happy.
What are you trying to say?
I'm so happy.
And we made it.
We did.
By the way, did we say we made it? Well, we did.
Now you know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
Honestly, an hour ago, I wasn't convinced we were going to make it.
Well, there was the guy who suddenly decided that he was in the lane right next to us, and he suddenly decided, with no warning, he wanted to be right where we were and started coming over on us. That was on Lakeshore Drive southbound.
And I'd like to thank him, because I'm still a little stressed from that.
Well, and I'd like to thank him, because it showed how well our 2005 car still handles.
Yes, and how good you are,
well,
too, because
that was scary. That was one of those,
I looked down at my phone about that time, and all of a sudden, it was like I'm on a roller coaster ride. Whoa, what's going on? And you're blowing the horn, and we're safe. That's us.
Yep.
Do you think that he got anywhere faster by doing that?
I think it scared him, too, because he really slowed down in front of us.
Well, good for that, because that's just one of my pet peeves, too, is people who just switch lanes and dodge in and out, and you're like, I'm going to see you in 5 minutes, and you're going to be two cars in front of me, and that's it. And you've just put people's lives at risk.
Well, then once we got to the light where we're going to, we've turned off Grand, and we're at the light where we're going to turn into the building parking lot. It took us about 10 minutes to make that turn. And there was
but at least there were no barricades or anything by that time.
Yeah.
We'd been an hour earlier. That would have been the height of fireworks. And I guess weather was perfect for this event.
Yeah.
Now, Ron, you are in the fishbowl.
You got here earlier today, so you didn't really have to deal with the traffic, right, Ron?
Yeah, the traffic wasn't a problem. Parking was, but traffic was not.
But you had a great view for the fireworks.
It was beautiful. It was fantastic. Yeah. It was magnificent, is what it was.
As in the Magnificent Mile
yes.
Lights Festival.
There you go. Lived up to the billing.
And Bob, you got here when?
He's still thinking about it, because Bob was driving around. In fact, I said last week, now be sure to send us a text and tell us what parking is like, because, you know, this is going to be a challenging night to get into the station. And we got a text from Bob, and he says, traffic is not so good. Parking is even worse. And Somebody was in the studio before us, and so all the buttons
have been... Yeah, because which is the control that I hit to get your mic off A2? Your mic is on A2 for some reason.
Turn the channel off.
Yeah.
And then up at the top, the very top.
The AB?
Yep. No.
Yep.
Yep.
Did that do it?
There we go. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I got here at 5:30, and I circled the Aqua Garage for an hour.
Wow.
And then I gave up, and I just parked in Millennium.
And then had to hightail it over here.
Yeah.
And a little later tonight, we're going to talk with Gabe about the fun experience he's had parking. Parking?
Parking. Or you're all of a sudden you're from Boston.
Park the car.
Oh, Gabe has a story.
Yeah. Oh, he does. Yes. And he has every reason to be ticked off.
Yes, yep. He does.
But
were I Gabe, I would be calling a tow company and sending the bill to the people who blocked him in.
Yeah.
Julian, how was it? Of course, you've been here since, last Thursday?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So you were here bright and early for the Hochberg show?
Yes, the Hochberg extravaganza.
Uh-huh. Is that why it's 51 degrees in here? Because he has so many people in the studio?
It was feeling so cold, and I went over and checked one of the thermometers. It's set at 51.
That might have been me. Because it was really hot earlier.
Uh-huh.
About an hour before you got in, it felt like it was 80, so I turned it down. I'm going to turn it down too much.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When it's 51, my nose starts running, which is not a really pleasant thing on the radio when I'm...
It's a throwback to earlier days when people used to do that in radio.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay.
The sniffling? Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'm segueing a bit.
Okay.
It's a throwback to something I saw earlier this week.
Hmm.
Remember Kathy Hart?
Yeah.
She apparently is, wherever she's living now, I forget the state, she's working for a public radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And she posted, they're doing a fundraiser, they're trying to raise something like $25,000. And she posted pictures of it's a public radio station, and it was really cold. They have no heaters. They don't have blinds on the windows. They were all wearing jackets. It was so cold.
I think she's in Utah or someplace like that.
Something like that.
We heard from a listener tonight who's in Miami and said it's chilly in Miami tonight. And marching down Michigan Avenue in 41-degree temperatures was a band from Hawaii. I guess we had bands from Wisconsin, Ohio, Hawaii, and hopefully a couple from Chicago, too, marching in the... We have done that parade many years, and it's great fun. And I think the last time we did that parade, it was about 10 degrees.
That sounds
Remember, we were at the Tribune Tower. That's where the radio station was.
And am I wrong, or is that the time that everybody from the radio station said, this was the last time this parade?
Yes, because it all starts at Pioneer Court.
Yeah.
So that's where we were. So we were like the launch site for everything, which was perfect to broadcast. But when it was 10 degrees, it wasn't so perfect. You're holding a microphone, even if you're wearing gloves. You're thinking, okay, I'll die with this microphone in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to freeze to my palm. But that was a nice memory. After we did the parade, we thawed out at the 95th and had a wonderful meal.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about
that.
Yeah,
and
that
we celebrated
fun.
The start of, and it was all decorated there at the top of the Hancock for
Have
Christmas.
Have they announced what they're doing with the 95th yet?
I think somebody...
Ron, have you heard anything about that? Have there been any press releases about that? Because there was some speculation about, okay, what are they going to do? They're saying it's going to be...
I thought it was going to become a club, a private club.
No, I haven't heard. I don't have any update on that. I'm sorry, Steve.
Yeah.
Well, that's your assignment.
I will do that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Mr. Fried Chicken guy. I'm walking the halls about a half hour ago going, wow, where is this wonderful smell coming from? It was Ron heating up his supper.
It was good, too.
Oh, it smelled really good. There is fried chicken in our future, Steve.
By the way, speaking of food.
Yes.
Later tonight.
Yes.
Because we are only days away from Thanksgiving and the official start of the whole holiday season. Later tonight, due to tons of requests, we're going to spend a little time, and Johnny is going to share some of her gluten-free holiday recipes.
Right. So if you're going to be cooking for someone who is gluten-free, or if you've decided to be a really good hostess and make a little something for the people who are coming who are gluten-free, I'll give you some tips, give you some recipes, and yes, we will talk about the famous stuffin' muffin recipe.
Yes.
Because everybody wants the stuffin' muffin recipe.
Also tonight, Erica and Josh, our friends from the Empty Pockets, are going to be stopping by and bringing a guitar and picking and singing a little bit in the studio.
Kicking off their Mistletoe tour.
Yeah.
And they're going to be doing a number of Midwest stops, so they'll tell us all about that.
And a little later tonight, Patrick Crispin is going to be joining us. And oh boy, does he have a full hard drive. we're going to talk, because so many people have been asking, how do you completely abandon Twitter? Make sure you get as much off as you possibly can.
Or X.
We'll have Blue Sky 101 talk about the Google antitrust case. Secure email. And what was the thing that you came across earlier today?
We're Aloha, which is a browser that you might be interested in. You who have a half dozen browsers on the machine as it is, what's one more? Give Aloha a chance. And Patrick's got some ideas for tech Christmas gifts, holiday gift ideas.
In fact, every show between now and Christmas that Patrick is on with us, he's going to share some Christmas thoughts.
So we have a full show tonight, if you hadn't guessed. I've got pictures up, pictures en route to the radio station tonight. A lot of the Drake Hotel, because that's where we dropped anchor, right about the Oak Street curve. So I was sitting there long enough to get a number of pictures of the Drake.
And in honor of the Michigan Mile lights and Mickey Mouse, Johnny posted some pictures of our Mickey Mouse kitchen.
Yes, and if you don't know, the Lights Festival parade has the Grand Marshal, and it's always been this way, is Mickey Mouse. And as he's traveling down Michigan Avenue, he's tapping the trees, so the lights on Michigan Avenue are coming on. I've had a Mickey kitchen for over 30 years now, and I thought, well, this is a perfect opportunity to share some of the new holiday additions to our Mickey Mouse kitchen.
So check out our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and we got a whole lot more coming up.
Stranger in the black sedan, oh, won't you hop inside my car? I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby, I'll take you anywhere you want to go. I'm your vehicle, woman, by now I'm sure you know that I love you,
love you.
I need you,
need you.
Won't you got to have your child? Great God in heaven, you know I love.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is our friend Jim Peterick in the Ides of March. And Jim and some of the members of the Ides are going to be live in studio with us next week.
The original members of the Ides of March. And that song may be 50-some-odd years old, but gosh, it still sounds good with my headphones on.
Oh, it really does.
Oh, man, that opening lick is awesome.
You okay, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, do we need a medic over there, or is that...
Bob is just catching his breath. He's had a very stressful time getting here, so we want him just to sit and chill out for a little bit.
But Jim Peterick's going to be joining us along with some of the original members of the Ides of March next week, and they're going to give us a little preview of something that they've been doing for... I'm going to have to check and see how many years this has been. This is their annual Christmas concert, which is a incredible show.
Oh, it is.
Half the concert is the Ides doing Christmas music, and half the concert is the Ides doing the Ides stuff with some special guests.
Yes.
So, and that's going to be, well, we'll give you all the specifics next week.
Just be here, right?
Yeah.
Just be here, or else we'll talk about you if you're not here. Coming up, we will have our shout out. We're hearing from so far, we've got 17 states that have tuned in tonight and let us know that they've tuned in. And to the listener who checked in to say that tonight is not Tom Appel's night. Tom will be with us next Saturday night on the show. A listener said that they caught Tom's podcast when he thanked his radio mentors Steve and Johnny. Actually, we're his radio parents.
That's true.
We took him under our wing when he was just a boy, and that was so many years ago.
It was a cold night. It was out in the snow.
It was a cold night, and he walked in here wearing Bermuda shorts.
He did.
Because he always wears shorts.
And I don't believe we've ever seen Tom Appel with anything but shorts. And Johnny is not exaggerating.
Yep.
It can be the below zero temperatures outside, and Tom Appel is wearing shorts.
And no coat.
And no coat.
Man never wears
a coat.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. And he never looks cold, which is pretty amazing, too.
No.
Yes. Quick round robin about Thanksgiving. Bob, are you working Thanksgiving?
No.
You're not? Oh, good for you. All right. Julian, are you here? Yes, you are here Thanksgiving morning, aren't you?
I am indeed. I'll be here Thanksgiving with Dave Plyer and Black Friday with David Hochberg.
All right.
Double Daves.
So no responsibility of taking care of the bird in your world, right?
No.
Is that something you would do if you were home?
Do you enjoy it? Would you like to have that responsibility? Should we try and get you these days off so you could go home and make your bird?
No. Ron, are you here or home?
Ron is not by his microphone right now.
He's
working on his bird right now, even as we speak.
His is fried, though. His fried chicken. Well, we've worked many a Thanksgiving. In fact, it was kind of a tradition for us for many years to work Thanksgiving because I said it gets me out of making a turkey.
Well, and we would our Thanksgiving tradition for years has been that we spend Thanksgiving out in Munster at my brother Lee's, and then for Christmas, he comes and hangs out with us. But for many, many years, we would be in Munster for Thanksgiving dinner, and then just at the point where, you know, the tryptophan is kicking in and you're getting
really
tired,
sleepy,
we have to leave Lee's and drive down to the station to be on the air for 6 hours.
But it was the Stuffin' Muffins that got us through
That's
the show
true.
Because we had our pockets jammed with Stuffin' Muffins. And Muriel Anderson was, for many years, a tradition because she would join us on Thanksgiving night and stay into the wee hours of the morning as we ate leftovers. And then I would also leave the radio station on Black Friday, back when Black Friday was a real thing, and I would just go shopping right from the show. Just go shopping and do traffic reports from shopping centers.
So basically, you would be about 28 hours without sleep.
Yes, but you know what? If I'm clutching a credit card, it just keeps me going. My heart just keeps pumping.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of caught some Black Friday deals yesterday because Thanksgiving is so late this year. I guess retail is a little freaked out by the fact they're losing a whole week of shopping. So a number of stores started last week with their Black Friday deals. Amazon did the same thing. And there were some really good deals. And I was able to get to a store that opened instead of 10 in the morning. They opened at 8:30 yesterday. And I was the first person there. And they had a little drawing. And I won a $10 gift card because I was the first person there.
And I like it that a lot of physical stores are going out of their way to try and get people back from Amazon and say, hey, here's something you can't get at Amazon.
And the best news in retail, in my opinion, is the success of bookstores. They are popping up all over the place.
On a national level, Barnes & Noble is opening bookstores all over the place, and good for them.
Beautiful stores, too. And we thought, you know, those days were long gone, and you can get things on Amazon that might be cheaper, but it's not the same as going into a bookstore and smelling the books and then buying the books there. We've got some interesting tunes coming up tonight, not only because we have live music in studio coming up next hour, but we've unearthed some crazy little ditties to go along with our conversation about food in the 11 o'clock hour. And again, if you are contemplating cooking anything gluten-free coming up this holiday season, please listen in or tell your kids or whomever it is that is gluten-free that we'll talk about some of those things that you can do easily, safely for the holidays.
Be around the 11 o'clock hour.
Yes, yes, yes.
Speaking of food, Ron, if you get a chance to wander back from basting your bird, there is a question that that has surfaced.
Yes. I want to do a little round robin here because Thanksgiving, again, traditions come into play. And one of our traditions.
And as my dad always said, tradition is a fine thing as long as it doesn't become a habit.
Amen. One of our traditions is always to have a pie for each person that's attending our Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that that's just your pie. That means there are enough pies if there's 10 people. I like to be sure that there are 10 pies so that you can have a nice sample of pies.
And the pie that Johnny has been nice enough to bring to Thanksgiving dinner for years.
To make and bring.
Because this goes back to when Lee and I were growing up, and one of our Christmas traditions was mincemeat pie. Mm-hmm. I know that's not everybody's cup of tea,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a cup of tea. It's a pie, and it's a mincemeat pie.
All right, Ron, what do you think of when you think mincemeat? Does that sound appetizing? Is it something you've ever had before?
I don't believe I've ever had it, and it makes me think I'm glad that somebody else will be eating it.
Well, no, there's no meat in it. Maybe hundreds of years ago, they threw meat in it. Somehow, it took that name.
But doesn't this go back to the days when a lot of people who didn't have a whole lot of money were coming up with things to emulate other things?
So this was a very fruity pie. I've come to love it. I actually enjoy making it. And I just enjoy presenting it at Thanksgiving and Christmas to watch you and your brother practically weep with joy when you see that there's a mincemeat pie.
But now, Ron, here is one of the questions. As someone who covers the news mm-hmm. and is on top of all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What would you think a
jar of mincemeat
would cost?
Which is just imagine a bunch of fruits.
And give them an idea what size jar we're talking about.
Oh, probably anywhere from an 8 to 12 ounce jar of gooey, sweet, spicy.
So like a peanut butter size jar.
Oh, maybe about $6.
Back in the day when you could go to the grocery store and there it was on the shelves in the baking aisle, you could pick it up for $6. And at that time, we thought that was expensive, mm-hmm. 10, 15 years ago. Last year, I was walking through the Jewel and I could not find it. And I found the manager and I said to him, "Where is the mincemeat?" And the man actually said to me, "Oh, you're the one." Excuse me? He says, "Come with me." And there it was buried on the bottom shelf. There were raisins and prunes and things like that. And there was a jar of mincemeat. Thankfully, I grabbed a couple of them because the end date was 2026. I thought, okay, this is a no-brainer. Because he kind of suggested that this was it. He wasn't going to carry it anymore. There wasn't an audience for mincemeat. So this year, for Grins, I decided to look around and see if it was still tough to come by. So I went to Amazon. And my favorite brand is like the traditional brand made by None Such, NONESUCH, Classic Original Mincemeat. Let me show you, Steve, two jars.
Yeah.
$67.99.
For two, count them, two jars.
I think I might just take the surplus mincemeat I bought last year and put it up on eBay because I could make a killing. $67. Now, I can scroll down here. If I want to get three jars, I can get three jars for $99. One jar makes a pie. It's not like you could get 10 pies out of one jar.
And my question is, why?
Why? Why? Now, there are some fancier, smaller jars. There's probably a word for it.
Caviar.
No. I don't even know what they taste like, but 4.5 ounces, for example, $29.97.
Why is mincemeat so expensive?
It's crazy.
Maybe because it's just hard to find, difficult, because not that many people use it.
Because they have managers like my Jewel manager who says, "Oh, you're the one."
Well, that shows it's not in high demand. So.
But, Steve, you'll see here on Amazon, there are actually T-shirts that read, "Mincemeat Mode On." And the other T-shirt.
Oh, I need one of those.
The other T-shirt, "Big fan of mincemeat. Are you?"
I like the mincemeat mode on.
Mincemeat mode on. And again, if you are shopping for it, beware. It wasn't available at my Jewel. I checked Mariano's. They told me when I called that they do have it available. I did not try Trader Joe's. The listener said Trader Joe's. listeners are requesting two mincemeat pies, please. $8 last year at Mariano's. But again, last year, this year.
Now, Ron, for my brother and I, it's mincemeat. What is the you got to have it at Thanksgiving dinner that you need?
Besides turkey.
As far as pies?
Or anything.
Well, I've never said no to pie. So it's just pretty much anything that's there. But I would say, other than the turkey.
Dressing? Stuffing?
Love to have, stuffing. I mean, I just like it all. Mm-hmm. And I should say that I don't cook anything. So I'm just the one who's there eating, usually as a guest. And it's just a wonderful, happy feast of a time. So
now, as I recall,
I'm not that particular.
You worked last year on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'll be doing that again
this year. You will be.
Yeah.
So during the day. A listener wants to know what's in mincemeat, and I just keep saying it's fruit.
Yeah, I actually have a description here in front of me.
Okay.
Candied fruit peels, lemon and orange zest, finely chopped apple, brandy.
Oh.
I bet that, hey, I just said, I'd say yes to mincemeat now. warming spices and raisins and currants.
Yeah.
So, dried fruits.
Okay. I guess it goes back to Great Britain is where it started.
It says, what I'm reading here is that long ago, mince pies did actually have meat in them. But that kind of went by the wayside, and it just became a fruit pie.
Well, here's a little known fact that I just stumbled across. In World War II, British intelligence officers used Operation Mincemeat to deceive the Germans about the Allied invasion of Sicily. The operation involved creating a fake identity for a dead body and dropping it in the sea off the coast of Spain. And mincemeat.
Okay.
Operation Mincemeat, which will commence on our Thanksgiving, along with the pumpkin pie. Let's see, we've got mincemeat, pumpkin.
Usually apple.
Key lime.
Yeah.
Apple. I'm going to do chocolate, old-fashioned chocolate pie this year, too.
That sounds great.
I got to come up with more before Monday when I start making these things. But anyway, if you're in the market for it, beware. It's three jars for $99. Unless you want to call me, I might be willing to part with one of my jars for a mere $20, $25. It's a savings, really. You have to pay shipping, though. Coming up, we've got our round robin, so stay with us here on WGN.
Just come on. Just come on, y'all.
Johnny Putnam of WGN Radio. Time for a round robin of shouts.
Yes, a shout. I was kind of overwhelmed by all the texts coming in at 312-981-7200. So, yeah, this is our shout-out segment of the show, and we're now up to 19 states that have checked in, and we do appreciate that. Dan Lewandowski, for example, is listening in Wichita Falls, Texas. Michelle Reitman is in Skokie. We know where that is. Jim G is in Wisconsin. Gina in Lone Tree, Colorado. David and his cat named Kedzie are tuned in. George is in Augusta, Georgia, and he loves him a pecan pie and a pumpkin pie. I forgot I'm making a pecan pie, too. Yes. Scott is in Pierre, South Dakota. Hey, Scott. Sherry and Bob are celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary tonight. Robin's in Dyer, Tom's in PA, Lupe. Remember Lupe? They used to call us from Northwest Indiana in the 219 area code. He checked in tonight. Stacy's in Delaware, Ohio. Laura and her dog Cotton are in Willowbrook. Bonnie and George are in Elgin. They are
Cotton's a great name for a dog.
Yes, it is. I like Kedzie for a cat name. Yeah. Our former engineer, Aubrey Mumpower, used to have a mess of cats, and they were all named.
Used to have nine cats.
They were named after Ashland and Clark and Wrigley, and all of them had Chicago names. Brian is in his big truck in Downers Grove tonight. Also tuned in and checking in on our Facebook page, Terry Knight in Batavia. Eleanor Gators is in the O'Hare area. Eric Baum sent us a lovely picture from his place in Wells Beach, Maine. It's a rainbow over Dock Square in Kennebunkport, Maine. Gorgeous picture. Our buddy Bobby Danos is tuned in on his clock radio out in Sandwich. Bonnie Pearson and Count Lola, her dog. Count Lola.
Okay.
Or Count Lola, dog, and I. Maybe she means just count the dog along with me. Anyway, they're in Gray's Lake.
I kind of like the vampire thing.
Yes, Count Lola. Diane Vasquez is our graphics guru, and she's made us a lovely little graphic for a happy Thanksgiving. The Greenwood Cemetery in Hinckley, Illinois, tuned in tonight. Chuck Snitchler is ho-ho-hoing out in Hobart. Linda Johnson, our buddy for many years, is tuned in. Marie Prudence is in Evergreen Park. And Sandy here. Oh, she also sent us a picture, a gorgeous black and white picture of Dwayne Eddy with Bobby Darin.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that picture. Dwayne is playing an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And it was from a TV show that Dwayne and Bobby Darin did over in Great Britain, and it was during one of the tours that Dwayne and Bobby were on.
Oh, man, I would have paid big money to see that
tour.
And
I'm trying to think of the name of the song. It was an old kind of a folk country song they did. We may have to dig it up a little later and play a little bit of the audio.
Jeffrey is in the Gold Coast where everything is happening tonight. The Italian Bakery in Addison, listening, they make a cannoli pie, which is wonderful, and it sounds pretty wonderful. Stacy Drager is in Algonquin, also listening in Highland and loving the stuff and muffins is a listener from 219. And I will get to that recipe, I promise you, in the 11 o'clock hour. Peter Jakubowicz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Mary Gold and her husband are tuned in Tinley Park. Lloyd Moncrief is in Ottawa. Nancy Witt is in Milwaukee. Robin Aiken in Port Charlotte, Florida. Donna Youngheim in Oak Lawn. Mark Goldstein in Owings Mills, Maryland.
Owings Mills, Maryland is where Motor Week is recorded. That's our friend John Davis.
Which we'll be talking to him probably right after the first of the year.
Yeah.
Talking about the auto show and such. Susan Schemmel is tuned in Glen Allen. Rita Rage in Fort Worth, Texas. Scott Cooper in Falls Church, Virginia. Bill Hill in Hobart, Indiana. Brian Lefevre is in the beautiful city of Bridgeport. Donna, I always get mixed up when there's a Q in a name. Locuerico. Love you, Donna, with a Q.
It has kind of a Creole sound to it.
Send me a pronunciation, Donna. Gene Jacobson is in Milwaukee. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Mark Orr, Arlington Heights. Larry Mann, chilly Miami tonight. Lynn Kinzer's in San Antonio, Florida. Beverly Goodall in Highwood, Illinois. Norm Rosansky is in Aurora.
Norm, now you really understand why we have separate checkbooks.
Stop it. Jonathan Rosenbaum is listening from Stamford, Connecticut, fans of Erica and Josh. Judy B. is in Oak Lawn. Joan Bloom in Greenville, South Carolina. Christine Failing is in Plainfield. Jeffrey Welshens is in Elkins, West Virginia. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah, Georgia. Sharon Malone in K-Town. Sandy McCumas in Michigan City, Indiana. Patricia Human is in Scranton, PA. Skip Pluchinski is in Morton Grove. Rhonda Rogers.
As opposed to Patricia Dog. Patricia Human?
Nah.
But I'm just asking.
There's an M-E-N.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Said Johnny Putt Person to you.
Yes.
Rhonda Rogers is in Lyndhurst, Illinois, and Nancy Taffy in West Allis. Lots of folks tuned in tonight and stopping by here at 312-981-7200 and on our Facebook page, and we appreciate that. Thank you.
And, boy, there's so much we want to get to. We've got about a minute before we need to break. After the 10 o'clock news, Josh and Erica, the Empty Pockets, going to join us in studio. A little later tonight, Johnny will have some gluten-free holiday recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And a little later tonight, Patrick Crispin joins us, and we have a ton of things to cover when we talk about computer stuff this week.
We do, yes.
Everything from how to get rid of X, how to understand blue sky, what's going on with the Google lawsuit.
Safe emailing, a brand new browser or two that's out there.
And as Patrick had mentioned a couple weeks ago, he's going to talk about the new Windows laptops. If you're thinking about getting a new Windows laptop, there are some things you need to know before you do that.
Mm.
So that's just a part of what we have coming up. You can always get to us, 312-981-7200. A lot coming up tonight. Stay with us at WGN.
She'll tell you that she came in the year of the cat.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And those of you who are new to our conversations with the Empty Pockets are maybe wondering, well, why are they playing Year of the Cat? Well, A, the people behind Al Stewart on that were the Empty Pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And the people sitting opposite us are the Empty Pockets, or two of the Empty Pockets.
The front pockets of the Empty Pockets.
Yes, the front pockets.
The back pockets are home right now, right?
Hello, friends.
Yes.
And happy holidays. It's so good to see you.
You too. Gosh, you came in here bearing gifts. Golly, speaking of, you had a cute little tote bag. There's a cat on it because Year of the Cat. Did you design that,
Erica? I did. People love that little kitty.
Yes, the little tote bag. And of course, Year of the Cat, if you know anything about Al Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you know anything about Al Stewart lately, you know the Empty Pockets.
You know, it's funny. We're almost 10 years into touring with Al Stewart.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Yes.
Wow. That song has like a Pavlovian response. I'm like done with the gig now in my brain.
I'm like,
oh, emotions. When we start Year of the Cat, you know that we're finishing the gig.
We survived.
Yeah.
What?
Another night.
I can't even wrap my mind around 10 years.
Yeah, it's pretty strange, isn't it? He's our buddy Al. I'll turn 40 next year, and Al will turn 80.
Mm-hmm.
And he's retiring, so we're doing his farewell tour all year next year, ending in the UK.
Okay, feel no pressure, but before you wrap up your gigs with Al, we want to talk to him.
Oh, we got to make that
happen. Absolutely, yes.
He's a fascinating character. I call him Uncle Al.
Okay.
And he still sounds fantastic.
He sounds great.
His voice has not changed at all.
Well, you guys should know that he's a serious wino. I mean, he knows. He's practically a sommelier, and I like to say he's fermented inside.
Yeah, it's mentioned perfectly.
Yeah.
He knows more about history than anyone I've ever met.
Yeah.
And because he never had that Don McLean, Paul McCartney lyrical voice at 80, he's still got it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
he sounds like himself.
Exactly.
In a cover band here in Chicago, you know, we played a lot of weddings back in the day. It is a little bit different playing a hit song like that when you kind of are on stage and we're like, this is the definitive version of this song right now, because that's the guy, and he's singing.
And here we are.
Everybody's going crazy.
Okay, I have to ask you, his voice sounds terrific. To my ears, he's singing all these years later in the same key. Is he singing it in the same key he recorded it in?
It's one half step. It's an amazing question, and it's one half step down. With Al on tour, he turns his guitar down into E flat, and we play every single song down one half step.
But as a singer, I would say that that's pretty negligible. It's pretty much the same key.
Ronnie Rice from the New Colony Six.
We love him.
Does the same thing. Turns down a half step from where he originally recorded.
And it still sounds the same.
Shout out to Ronnie Rice. I've had many a hot dog with the man at Herm's Palace on Dempster.
He sent us a song not that long ago.
He did. I love Ronnie.
And we've had a few New Year's Eves together
at
the radio station.
That's right.
Well, I'm holding this heavy-duty piece of vinyl that's going to be released on Tuesday.
We're shipping it on Tuesday. The official release is Friday.
This is cool.
Oh, thank you so much. It's our number one Billboard charting blues album. It's called Gotta Find the Moon.
It's a wonderful
album. And
this
is a special edition.
Is it a double
album? It's a double vinyl. It's kind of a long album.
So there's new tracks.
We got five new tracks on it, including two tracks recorded at Abbey Road in London.
And I can read the liner notes.
Yeah, it's got real liner notes. It's a gatefold. Erica designs all of our stuff.
Wait, you guys, the color is, it's not a black record. It's moon colored.
Yeah,
it looks like, so the album's called Gotta Find the Moon, and the album itself looks like a moon.
Get out.
And it's made out of cheese.
I'm loving it. Don't eat it, though.
But this is our coolest product. We've never made a double vinyl, and it's got five bonus tracks on it, including an Al Stewart song. Erica really does a great job doing a song
in
called
Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
Yes. Just saw the video of that
last week. And then we had to put a Beatles song on it because we recorded it at Abbey Road, so it includes Oh Darlin' as
Love that. Yes. Oh, this is a great Christmas present, folks.
Yeah, it really is. It
Dust
really
off your turntable if you haven't already done that. It's weighty, so you're going to ship them out on Tuesday.
Yeah,
you've been taking orders.
Yeah, manufactured right here in Chicago at Smash Plastic.
Yes.
And it's heavy because that's 160 gram vinyl. You know, that's a serious, there's some weight on those.
Yes. We got to talk to Smash Plastic too sometime.
The blatant plug light just went on. If people want to order the album, how do they order it?
TheEmptyPockets.com.
That's us. And we will package those ourselves and we ship them ourselves. We're very much a small business. And we love doing what we do, and this one sounds real good.
It's awesome. I'm excited about the demos that we've included in that, and there's a live track.
Yeah, it's a really cool package.
Yeah,
that's great. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's huge. You've had a baby. It's right there. I'm sure it took a few months to get that going.
And who would have thunk that vinyl is now outselling CDs and selling every other form of
isn't that wild?
Media.
Yeah. I've started to say at live shows, and we play, you know, with Al Stewart to an older audience a lot, so I've started to say, you made a mistake.
You
threw your vinyl away.
Yes.
You didn't know.
You sold it at a garage sale.
You didn't know. You gave it away.
Oh, you gave it to Steve, as many people did.
All of us threw away our vinyl.
You gave it to our bass player, Nate, for no money. Now, he's got 1,000 vinyl, and you've got none.
Well, believe me, over the years, we would come into work at the Tribune Tower, and there'd be a big cardboard box, and they would have a note top. It said, so-and-so stopped by and left their vinyl for Steve.
No.
And I'm like, no more, please.
When they were getting rid of the vinyl
at the radio station.
The radio station, they let me go through it and pick up what I wanted.
You know,
it's tough because it's hard to tell the future, obviously. And so, you know, remember when cable, we all had cable.
Yes.
And then there was this promise of like, for 12 bucks a month, you're going to get rid of that. And now, if you want Disney and Netflix and Prime.
Pay extra.
It's as much as cable used to be.
So go back to DirecTV.
Yeah, similar to streaming music. As good as streaming music is, there's nothing quite like actually owning a physical copy of a piece of music.
You
that
never
you
know
love.
When they're going to take that away, the streaming. You know,
or
like
when that artist takes their music down or
it's
changes
true.
It.
Well,
or,
I had an odd experience last night. I was sharing this with Johnny as we were driving in. George Benson has a new album out.
Ooh.
It's a wonderful album. It was recorded back in 1989.
Cool.
And it has just now
been
released.
Found it. Yeah.
I was listening to the album last night. Johnny's asleep. I have the CD player above my head, listening to the album, loving the album, and I thought, I'm listening to this. No one knows I'm listening to this. No one is digitally tracking me to find out that I'm doing this.
So you felt special,
right? It's a piece of physical
so private
thing.
Yes.
And you can't be tracked.
You know, early on in our relationship, I went to an audition, I think, at the Actors Equity office, and they were selling a bunch of records for $1 each, and I had had a terrible audition, and the only way to make myself feel better was to buy the vinyls, and I came home, and Josh said, "Those are my friend Fred's records."
And they remember that, yeah. And Fred had died, friends. And
oh my gosh,
he said, "Where did you get those?" I said, "Actors Equity." He goes, "Those are my friend's records."
15 years ago, when the great vinyl giveaway was really in full swing. That's so funny, Steve. Now it's the most popular physical, and it is beautiful.
Yeah,
I love the
format.
Well, get your copy of "Gotta Find the Moon." It officially gets. On the streets on Tuesday. It gets dropped on Tuesday.
The streets, baby.
Yep.
I don't know why Tuesday became the day when. So you guys are upholding the tradition of Tuesday's the day.
Tuesday's
when
the old school day.
The music
Friday
drops.
Is the new school day.
Yeah.
I don't totally know where
Tuesday
we got either
was of those. The day that the A&R people, or not the A&R people, the publicists would show up at the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
That was always on a Tuesday.
Yes, with donuts and music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you please play this? Here's some donuts.
Yeah, right.
You've definitely been known to show up at a radio station with pizza
have
before.
You?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
We're going to shut up and let you be entertained by some wonderful, wonderful music. What would you guys like to do?
We're going to do a classic Midwestern original holiday tune we call Snowshoes.
Let's not wait till sunlight. The timing now feels just right. I'm coming over to you. Darling, go put on your snowshoes. On second thought, let's no shoes. Not where we're going to. We might sleep right through the afternoon, wake before that rising city moon. If you get to choose where and where you can be, well, I hope you choose right here and now with me. Resist temptation on a make-believe vacation. There's no in-between. Darling, you can hog the pillows, pretend the plants are willows, the dishwashers are stream. We must sleep right through the afternoon, oh yeah. Wake before that rising city moon. If you get to choose where and where you can be, well, I hope you choose right here and now with me.
Tenenbaum, oh Tenenbaum, ooh, oh Tenenbaum, oh Tenenbaum,
oh baby, let's not wait till sunlight. The timing now feels just right. I'm coming over to you, oh, darling. Go put on your snowshoes. On second thought, let's no shoes. Not where we're going to. Whoa, we'll start before the dawn. Then we'll waste the day, heralded by those wispy clouds of gray. If you get to choose
where and when you can be. Well, I hope you choose right here and now with me. With me.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for oh my always gosh. Having us back.
Well, you know that's a favorite.
History of you guys in that song.
Oh.
I remember the first time we heard it on the radio, the first time you performed it, and then I said, I'm going to cry. I love it so much.
Well, Eric and I have been married 11 years,
years?
Almost 12 almost years, yeah. And before
is
we were married.
January?
January. It's a January yeah. wedding. Is it going to be 12?
Yeah. Yes.
And before we got married, we lived in this little tiny apartment, and we didn't have any money, so we called our band The Empty Pockets.
We were stuck in a blizzard.
And we were stuck in a blizzard, and we knew we weren't going to get a vacation that year, and we were like, you know what? We're going to make tomorrow's snow day our vacation, and the dishwasher was running, and we had all these plants, and I remember saying to you, like, let's close our eyes. I mean, it sounds silly. Let's close our eyes, and that dishwasher is going to be the exotic stream, and we're going to be on vacation.
We put on Bob Marley, and we fell asleep.
Yeah. And that song was born out of that. It was originally on an album called Holiday Staycation,
yes.
You know, Staycation.
And I had my Ugg boots by the door, you know, those furry boots that were real popular.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, memory works. Like, I can still smell that apartment when we play
that funny?
Song.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I imagine where every plant is.
It was one of those lofts. It was one of those lofts where there were no walls, and you could so it did have a specific smell, you know.
Yeah.
Where
it was an old shoe factory.
It was an old shoe factory.
Okay.
Where was it located?
It was, that was 925 West Huron, a really cool building on the
River West.
Yeah, River
mm-hmm.
West.
Okay.
I loved living there, except for all the things about living there. But
I loved everything about it, except everything about it.
It was a romance.
It was romance,
yes,
you know.
Yes, I hear you.
And parking, you know, we have a garage now. It's just like infinite luxury. But back then, the snowstorm. And
well, again, blatant plug. If people want to get that specific song, that's on
Party at the North Pole. It's on all our Christmas stuff. It's on all of your streaming services. But you can always just go to theemptypockets.com and join us in any multitude of ways.
Or Google us, The Empty Pockets. You'll find
or
us.
Come out and see them perform live November 30th. They're going to be at the Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells with Fog Hat.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
How cool is that?
What's cool about Fog Hat, among many things, is I don't know if you remember, 2 years ago, we were on with you guys, and we had gotten all our gear stolen.
Yes.
Our whole trailer was stolen,
yep,
including all of our drummer Adam's drums. Shout out to Adam. Shout out to Nate.
2 weeks into that process, we get a call, and they're like, have you guys heard of Fog Hat? We're like, we sure have, y'all.
And it was like, hey, we're going to have Roger from Fog Hat call you. He calls Adam. He's like, Roger from Fog Hat, who's still in Fog Hat today, we're going to see him in Baraboo, says, hey, I'll meet you at the City Winery in New York. And brings Adam a full drum set. I heard you got your drum set stolen. Here's my drum set. Signed the cymbals.
Oh, my God.
Played with us.
Played Sweet Home Chicago with us on stage. Like, how cool is that?
Him and his wife, Linda, have just, like, taken really good care of us. They enjoy our music. They are vocal about us online.
People at that level don't always meet other musicians and treat them
right.
as peers.
Yeah.
You know? And then we've just been, like, their peers. It's sort of been an extraordinary
cool.
experience.
Yeah. It's meant a lot to us.
I mean, Slow Ride.
Yes.
I mean, those guys are legends. So,
so November 30th,
that's
you're going to be
really
on stage
great.
With Fog Hat
yeah,
and Ho-Chunk.
Then the next night, we're back in town. We're back in the Evanston area.
Yes,
at Space.
At Space, our favorite place.
We love
it's like
Space.
Just one of the best venues in the world.
Yep.
Yes.
That's always a great show. Come to that show. My mom will be there.
My mom will be there. It's almost sold out, so like, there's not a lot of tickets left,
yes,
so grab them now.
But it's a great
and
listening
again, which,
room.
And again, which night is that?
That's Sunday, December 1st.
A week
and
from
then,
tomorrow.
Yeah, then we got two more weeks of tour before we're done for the year. So I'm very much looking forward to it. I always love our holiday tour. You know, we have all our snow-based songs. You just
good,
heard one of them.
Good, yeah. And let me quickly mention before we take a break for news, your mom and your brother are behind this wonderful little place up in Skokie called Will's Place.
Oh, close to my
and
heart.
I said I wanted to make sure to say that if you want to order your Thanksgiving pies at Will's Place, you can do that.
You got another couple of days to get your orders in. Pickup is happening at Will's Place in Skokie, which is right across from the Skokie Theater on Lincoln Avenue.
All of your purchases support adults with disabilities having meaningful employment.
It's sort of impossible to overstate how extraordinary this program has been. Just a really quick example. They do extra stuff on top of the cafe, on top of Will's Place. So I joined them the other day for basketball practice. Mm-hmm. Where all these adults with disabilities who work at Will's Place are on a Special Olympics basketball team. And man, that was a fun practice. And they're all getting good at basketball. Yeah. And just
Really good at running Will's Place,
too. They really
too.
Are.
I'm
it's
so
just one
pleased.
Element of... amazing stuff happening
yeah.
over there.
Yeah, crazy cool community.
If you want to get pies, order them at Will's Place in Skokie. Pick them up at Will's Place in Skokie. Just a couple more days to do that.
And again, Will's Place right across from the Skokie Theater and right next to my favorite comic book store, Oh Yeah Comics.
Right.
Great place.
Lincoln Avenue.
That's turned into a real party sequence there. They got the comic book store, new restaurants, Lincoln Avenue in downtown Skokie. Shout out.
Yeah. It's happening. We're going to take a quick break, and with us in the studio, the M2 Pockets, part of the M2 Pockets, performing live for us, kicking off their holiday tour. Stay with us here on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We've got Erica and Josh from the Empty Pockets in the studio with us. I just realized we're kind of kicking off the holidays with some Christmas music from a couple of their albums.
Is this our first Christmas tune this season?
I think it was.
That's judicious of you.
Yay!
The station, a lot of stations went all Christmas on November 1st.
That's
so
right.
It's very judicious of you. It's already in the 20s.
And, well, you know, we figure, too, Thanksgiving is so late this year that this would have been the Saturday after Thanksgiving on most other years.
Smart,
right?
Okay, before you get to another song, Thanksgiving. What do you have to have for Thanksgiving?
Besides turkey.
Or it's not Thanksgiving.
Pumpkin chiffon pie.
Ooh,
my
pumpkin chiffon.
Recipe.
There's this chiffon in her family.
It's like a mousse. Fluffy.
I think I prefer it dense.
Josh, don't.
But it's a good pie, the pumpkin chiffon.
Don't come here with that. Please. Let my grandmother hear
Thanksgiving
you.
My Thanksgiving request is turkey related, so it might not follow that rule. But to me, it's like, I don't want an overdone turkey.
Yes.
So to me, the solution to that is cut that backbone out of that turkey. This is a big this is a big thing in our VIP group.
Like,
this word gets used
a lot.
I like
are you talking spatchcock?
Spatchcock.
Oh my gosh. So a 20-pound turkey, and you're going to be standing there with a saw?
Yes.
Come on.
Erica's aunt has offered similar skepticism that you are saying, but it's important to me.
Look at my face. I'm like, no.
One, I like how it cooks better, and two, I like that backbone.
Make some stock,
gravy and
Josh,
some stock before
that's why
that.
You have thermometers.
Oh, I'm a big thermometer fan. Big fan of the thermometer.
Please, we can spatchcock and still use a thermometer.
I really am into cooking a whole bird. It's
we want the even cooking.
I want it even. I don't want it overcooked.
It's very important to us.
My grandfather was well known for cooking a turkey, and I just thought, and I love Terry Hallian, awesome dude, but he did not cook a good turkey. I thought turkey was dry.
I'm going to go on a 50,000 watt radio station and make that proclamation here and now.
I thought turkey was dry, and it was just,
it didn't have to be. Yes.
Okay, now here's the question. Dressing or stuffing?
Well, the word dressing makes no sense to me. What about you?
Well, I mean,
you're dressing the bird.
If I'm going to eat stuffing this year, it's going to be Johnny's gluten-free recipe. So,
I'm
waiting for the second hour to find out.
All right.
Johnny, when you make stuffing or dressing, are you making that separate? Or are you making that inside a bird? What's going on?
No, I don't do it inside.
Indeed.
We do stuffing muffins.
Yeah.
Where that
muffin
tins.
And
that
wonderful.
Way, when you're leaving,
I love that.
You can stuff your pockets.
Just put a few, muffins of stuff in
there. That's right.
I know it's a gluten-free question, but it's early, and I know it's before the segment, but are you going to use cornbread, or are you going to?
I do two.
Okay.
I do the bread for the stuffing, as in Stuffin' Muffins, and I do cornbread dressing, which is on the
I
side.
I love this. Okay. This. Okay. I love the sound like of cornbread dressing a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's, I'm here for
I wonder
that.
If anybody really successfully does the stuffing or the dressing in the turkey. I feel like
it's
it doesn't
wet.
Work.
It's too wet. Wet.
It's very wet.
My grandmother used to do that.
I know. I think everybody's grandmother did that. Okay. Like, you. Yeah.
It was kind of like bread and turkey.
It's
like
I
always waited for a day or so it wouldn't be quite as wet. So it would have dried out a little bit.
You yeah. Well, the leftovers are great, Grandma.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yes. Well, who's got a food Jones going on? It started with the fried chicken in the halls, and that's it.
Okay, I think we should shut up. What would you guys like to do?
All right, should we just continue on our journey of snow songs?
Let's snow it up.
All right, this one has a few Chicago references to it, if we can catch them. Shall we?
Let's do it.
Like a snow day, we'll never make it out of here. And on our snow day, you're stuck inside with me, my dear. They close the freeway from the suburbs down to Lakeshore Drive. They close the tollway all the way to 55. So we ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere soon. Snowflakes keep floating by, drifts at least 10 feet high. Our secret snow day, it's just you and I. Stumble out there, making angels in our own backyard. Cars are going nowhere, they're slipping down the boulevard. Cold wind is biting, reach out, touch your frozen hair. Snowballs are flying, the kids are out in Palmer Square. We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere soon. Snowflakes keep floating by, drifts at least 10 feet high. Our secret snow day, it's just you and I. Snowing the whole day through, gray skies that fade to blue. Our secret snow day, it's just me and you. It's still our snow day. We're out of weed, we're out of beer. La da da da, snow day. You're stuck inside with me, my
stuck
dear.
Inside with
oh,
me,
it's dear. Our snow day. We'll never make it out of day. Here. Stay with me today. Stuck inside with me, my dear.
My dear.
We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of here. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of here. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of here. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of here. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of here. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of here. We'll never make it out of here.
Oh. I'm convinced. We'll never make
That's
it. But
so
I'm happy
good.
As long as you're here. So, we'll
Before we break, a couple texts. One from 847, are the Empty Pockets music available on CD? Yep.
We prefer it on CD. Certainly, I don't know if you've heard the math about streaming, but buy a CD and it's like streaming us a million times.
Well, they can find information on the CDs at the Empty Pockets, but the album, answering the question about the album, that will be mailed out on Tuesday. So if you want to order your copy of the Double Gotta Find the Moon album, you can also find information on that on their website.
But I'd also like to, before we break, to address a question. listener from the 847 area code went to Will's place and didn't see anywhere to order pies online. Any comments, suggestions?
It is up there.
Let's make sure they're going to willsplaceskokie.com.
Willsplaceskokie.com. Check it out. Those pie orders are still being accepted until at least Monday. I checked.
It's at the top of the page when you go to willsplaceskokie.com. There's a button.
And I think there's two choices this year.
Yep.
And it is up there. So maybe if you're not seeing it, maybe check on a different browser or something like that.
And it looks like your choices are apple crumble or sweet potato.
Oh, nice. Man, sweet potato. Yeah.
Hello.
That's a good pie.
That's good. Yep.
But again, make sure you're going to willsplaceskokie.com.
And across the top, you find the button. I thought I found it, too. I was kind of confused. So, but again, thanks for asking, because I'm sure other people might be interested in supporting Will's Place. And
it's an amazing win-win-win. I mean, this is a gourmet pie, and so you're supporting also a local business and a nonprofit.
And the chef literally worked at some of the best restaurants in Chicago, and he's not holding back when he's training these employees, and it's unbelievable.
Yes.
The food is incredible, and what they're taking away from it is incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really awesome.
Text pours in a second text from 847 area code saying, found it. Thanks.
So good.
So we're good.
We have Erica Brett and Josh Solomon with us in studio tonight. Let's give a shout out to the rest of the Pockets.
Hi, Nato. Hi, Adam.
Nate's at home. Adam's at home. Adam's our drummer. Nate's our bass player. And they'll be with us all tour long, full band tour.
So those are the side pockets.
Side pockets. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, the back pocket's where the wallet is, though, so I wouldn't mind being
an important pocket.
No, yes. We couldn't survive without those guys.
So what do you want to do for us now?
We're going to do the title track of this double vinyl we're talking about. It's called... The vinyl's called Gotta Find the Moon. The album's called Gotta Find the Moon.
And it looks like a moon.
That's what this song is called. Stay back. I'm out of control. I'm like an animal. It's late night, I need to let go of it soon. Yeah, I gotta find the moon. Gotta find the moon.
So chasing my mind.
You know where the other one is.
I'm left with the rhyme.
Who left the other one?
Do I have to lose?
But we could take the other one.
Too frozen to choose.
We'll have to wait another day. Finding hidden trails and spreading wide the sails. And I saw there at the end, beautiful, and pretend you change your mind. And sorry was easy then, sorry was easy then, again and again and again. Sorry was easy then. He told his thoughts to Helen.
She couldn't even get in word.
Now his luck is out and he's selling.
As he left there, he flipped her the bird.
And his time ticks down daily.
She doesn't have a reason to care.
It's all getting worse lately.
But he thinks he's going somewhere.
We're finding hidden trails and spreading wide the sails. And she saw there at the end, beautiful,
and pretend
she changed her mind. Sorry was easy then. Sorry was easy then. Sorry. again. Yeah, sorry was easy then.
Wonderful.
Thank you. I love that, too.
Oh, you guys are the best.
Got to find the moon.
I just noticed something, and you guys have been in the studio with us tons of times. For some reason, I just picked up on something that I've never noticed before.
Hmm.
Erica, you don't just sing, you get into character.
I'm sure that's true.
You really do. And we're videoing this, and people are going to be... But I was just noticing it was something like... It's like you're responding the way the person would be responding if you were on stage. That it's. Do you consciously do that?
I just think I'm happiest when I'm singing.
No, I think she, like, there's a character that, like, sings a song, and sometimes, like, one of our songs, like, doesn't sound right yet until somebody finds that.
Yeah,
I
guess you're right.
You know, mm-hmm. Like... Yeah.
Do you have to do that too, Josh, sometimes, that you need to get into the character of the person who is
singing? Yeah, I think, like, there's a right way to do it, almost. Yeah, and, you know, the band used to, you know, Levon Helm, et cetera, Robbie Robertson, right. They used to not know who would sing the lead vocal, and, right. You know, mm-hmm. Emmanuel would sing it, and Levon would sing it, and Rick right. Danko would sing it, until they found, I think, like, the person who could, like, get that character right, you know, yeah. Like, and I think Eric is particularly good at that. Like, we both were actors
yes.
at one point, yeah. And mm-hmm. it's a little bit different than acting.
Well, because you're playing yourself, you're playing versions of you, I think.
Is it different sitting side by side performing?
Yes. Everything yeah. changes
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
We found that it's different for us.
Mm-hmm.
If Johnny and I are sitting next to each other, the
timing
vibe is totally different. Because we rely on eye contact.
Yeah, you're like seeing each other's mouth and each other's yeah. eyes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Everything changes everything.
Because I always maintain when it comes to people on radio, when it sounds like a cacophony, when everybody's talking, no one's making eye contact. Because yeah. if they were, yeah. they would pull back and let that person finish their sentence. But sometimes they're flung all over the place or remotely.
Unless it's like on The View where they're looking at each other and it just sounds like a bunch of
chickens.
Yeah, they're talking anyway, even though they're looking right at each other.
That's right. Talk a little cheep, cheep, cheep. Talk a lot, big little.
That was a great bit on Saturday Night Live yeah. when they made fun of the View and it was just a bunch of chickens.
You know?
I didn't see that. That's amazing.
Yes. You know who did, like, the Beatles do that so well. Like, they take a yeah. character on a tune. You know, Paul has all these different voices
that's true.
He pulls
yeah.
out.
Yeah, and yeah. that's, like, who I learned from. So that
of course.
Sense. Yeah.
You right. right at the foot of perfection,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. Always I'm kind, like, of trying to pursue something that you can't.
What can
ever...
I say about Paul that's not sexist?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
he's the cute one, all right?
All right. Let's say it out loud, we all know it.
That's right.
It's fine.
But I think, you know, obviously, like, even, but modern artists do it really well, too. I mean, Taylor Swift certainly does.
Oh,
this.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
yes,
where
you're
she,
right.
she takes a song and. I think part of it's taking the songwriting more seriously than yourself.
I'm trying to think of who it was. I just saw a video that it was from the BBC, and it was a male performer who took one of Taylor's songs, did it acoustically, and you really listen to her lyrics mm-hmm. more than you do sometimes with Taylor Swift.
Sure.
And it was a whole different kind of approach and presentation. It was wonderful.
Yeah, that's cool.
Can we con you guys into hanging out for at least
one
more?
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay.
And we lock the doors anyway. So.
Again, the Blatant Plug light is on, so if people want to follow you, they go to?
The Empty Pockets everywhere. Like, maybe you're on Instagram. We're at The Empty Pockets. Same with Facebook and YouTube.
Now, wait a minute. Are you on Blue Sky?
We got to make that happen.
You gotta,
we are not
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Guys, don't make me start another profile. All
you
right,
have to.
That's okay.
You have to
Blue
do
Sky,
Blue Sky.
I've been hearing a lot about it.
It's
you
a
know
friendly
where else
place.
We are opposite of Blue Sky is TikTok. We're on it.
Oh, it's okay.
TikTok
yeah.
as well.
That's
I'm sure
actually
that'll
good.
Be banned at some point. That'll change.
Give it time. We're going to take a break for news. We're going to keep a couple of the Empty Pockets with us for a few more minutes. So hope that you will stay with us here on WGN.
Oh, I come from Pittsburgh to study astrology, she said as she stepped on my instep. I could show you New York with the walk between 4th.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
That is Erica Brett doing an Al Stewart song.
Sound good on it, Ari.
You do. You sound wonderful on that.
Blatant plug for the song and where people can find it.
Well, it's called In Brooklyn. It was written by Al Stewart. It's on our website, theemptypockets.com, and you can get it by checking out our new vinyl
and
deluxe
it's
record.
Streaming everywhere. Cool sort of thought about that song. It was written in 1969, and the way Al Stewart tells it, like, he wants to be a rock star. You know, like, in the mid-60s, early 60s, he drops out of boarding school and goes to London to become a rock star and sees Jimi Hendrix's first three concerts
sells
in London.
His electric guitar.
Immediately sells his electric guitar. He's like, well, I'm not doing that. And then discovers a guy that at the time they didn't hear it on the radio or anything. He just had the record, and he called him Bob Dylan. And saw this Bob Dylan character at the Royal Albert Hall, and he plays Bob Dylan plays 2 hours with no band and just himself, and it blows Al Stewart's mind. And very shortly after, he writes songs like this and lyrics like this.
And his idol at the time is Leonard Cohen. And he's got like a notebook with him, I think, with the lyrics of this song at an airport. And he literally walks into Leonard Cohen physically, bumps into him, and is like gobsmacked to see his idol. It basically corners him and is like, will you look at my song? Shows him these lyrics to this exact piece, and he says,
Leonard Cohen. I was like, how does Al tell it? You know, 80 degrees down on my knees in Brooklyn. I like that. Three of the greatest lyricists of all time. You know, Al Stewart, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen. That's definitely like Mount Rushmore of lyricists.
Well, how did Al feel about your performance of the song?
First of all, we recorded that at Abbey Road Studios, which we've talked a little bit about here. It was magic. It was like being transported. It was like living my absolute
but
best
Al
dreams.
Al came, sat in the control room. It was the first time Al had been there since he recorded at Abbey Road in the 70s.
And he's like a huge champion of my voice, which is really awesome.
And Al can be like pretty neutral, aloof on stuff. And he was like pretty excited. Like it was hard. It's Abbey Road. You know, we're in Studio 3 where they recorded all of Dark Side of the Moon.
Mm-hmm. And those lyrics are no joke. You spit out those chorus lyrics.
It's
almost like a rap. And he was in Abbey Road, you know, coaching me live and giving me feedback and saying, great job, I love that, awesome.
It was a really cool experience. And I think that record, there's no overdubs on it, and I think it really turned out really nice. Go listen to that in Brooklyn.
I like the video that you have of you performing in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's a great video.
And I love the comments from people saying, oh my gosh, this is like a great Al Stewart song brought up to the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, Al Stewart's is a little bit more obscure in terms of like top 40 artists, so it's not exactly like he's getting covered all the time.
And that song did not make top 40.
No.
This was an album cut that his fans
would even say in terms of covers, it's one of the most disappointing. My favorite Al Stewart story probably is the most disappointing moment of his career is Bruce Springsteen gets a song covered by Manfred Mann. Blinded by the Light.
Huge.
And it was like a middling Bruce Springsteen song. Huge hit for Manfred Mann. Al gets a call. Manfred Mann's covering an Al Stewart song called Nostradamus. Look it up. It's hilariously bad. It's so bad.
It's atrocious.
And Al says he thinks to himself, ooh, I just made a bunch of money. Manfred Mann's going to cover my song. And then he hears it and he's like, nope, that's a dud.
Oh, ouch.
It's one of my favorites ever because Manfred Mann's such a good band at times.
But that's bad.
And it's... It's so funny. Yeah. It's funny bad. Even them, they would probably be like, yeah, that was terrible.
We're talking with Josh and Erica of The Empty Pockets. By the way, if you want to go to our Facebook page, which oddly enough is facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, you will see that Johnny just posted a picture of Josh and Erica in the studio. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get an idea of what we're seeing, you can just take a look there.
And Julian's over my shoulder. He has multiple cameras set up, so he's doing video tonight. And can we just say...
How many cameras are you using tonight, Julian?
Four.
Ooh, okay.
Right. Yes. We have posted on our page and on our YouTube channel videos that Julian has made for us. He did videos of The Empty Pockets earlier this year.
And they are wonderful.
Yeah,
like,
very
really
good.
Good.
And then the most recent ones he did from last week, a couple of weeks ago, we had Steve Dawson and Diane Christensen in. He did some terrific videos of Muriel Anderson performing here in studio.
And I'm just, let me just check something here, just because you mentioned the videos, and I want to take a look at the pl- playlist, and
and you can go to Stephen Johnny on YouTube, and you can see these videos.
And what I'm looking for is not easy to come up with right now. And
of course not, because you're live on the radio.
Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Okay, I want to see this playlist because I want to check the Tommy Emmanuel video.
Mm-hmm.
Now has... okay, we are at 138,000 views.
As it should. That's probably the best living acoustic guitar player. Tommy Emmanuel.
Yep.
Is, sat right there in that seat, too, where you are.
He is... It's like, it's not even something as a guitar player. I'm a professional guitar player. It's not even something you aspire to.
No.
So
there's Tommy, and then there's everybody
else.
Isn't
it true? Like,
yeah,
there's Tommy, and there's everyone else. It's not even worth listening. I mean, it is worth listening to his recordings, but if you're not seeing his hands, you won't even believe it's one person.
That's true.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
Because I've said many, many times, okay, folks, you can trust me. There's only one man here.
It's unbelievable, yeah. And he's as tasty and funny. It's great.
And sweet.
It's crazy.
And sweet, yeah.
I love Tommy Emmanuel.
Yes. Absolutely. We locked the doors, and I've answered a couple of texts. People go, oh, how do I find them? It's The Empty Pockets. But you can find them at Space in Evanston coming up. That's December 1st already. Okay. And then you're going to be traveling Midwest tour, your Missile Tunes tour through the month of December. Then you take some time off in January.
Yeah, we do. We're not back at it. We don't have to leave till January 17th. So we're feeling...
Oh, big whoop. Like 17 days. Gee.
The life of a traveling musician.
Yes, the troubadours. Okay, one more song from you.
All right, this is called Make It Through. It's from the same vinyl we've been talking about. This is about keeping each other in times that are tough.
The green signs are gonna lead us like a greyhound bus to the station. We missed a clue and now we're lost here, and we're nowhere near our destination. I'll be alright with you, maybe tonight we'll do something so right that we'll make it through. We change course cause we're not too proud, and then we laugh out loud at our mistake. The night swallows up our headlights, sudden red lights, you slam the brake. I'll be alright with you, maybe tonight we'll do something so right that will make it. Find our way. Well, I know before break of day, you'll glow from a spectrum of gray. All the colors flow. Day, your glow from a spectrum of gray, all the colors flow. Yeah, I'll be alright with you, maybe tonight we'll do something so right that will make it through. I'll be all right. I'll be all right.
I'll be all right.
I'll be all right.
I'll be all right.
I'll be all right.
Excellent choice.
Man, that's good.
Oh, it's always so great hanging out with you guys.
Well, thank you. And thank you for the copy of your album. Oh, I love the fact you got the Billboard number one sticker on the front of the album.
Gotta get that sticker going. Gotta get that sticker.
We're fancy like that.
Yes.
Yeah, we were proud because you mentioned we're playing with Foghat a week from today, and they're bragging about their number one Billboard blues album, which is their first number one.
Mm.
And we have two of them.
Okay.
So we were pretty excited. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So they're opening for you, right?
Yeah, sure.
But looking at the lineup on your double album, which is out on Tuesday, I see one of my favorite songs, Shocked by an Electrician. You do the demo version of it?
Yeah, there's an original demo on there.
So it's scaled down with Josh singing?
It's very different. I'm singing it and I'm kind of figuring it out. So we put it on because we wanted to put some special stuff that you can't get anywhere else.
Right.
And that demo, that and our demo, there's another demo on it too, are both like very revealing and cool. I really like
those. I think you were in the process of writing Shocked by an Electrician when you were in our studio.
We were. I told you.
You were kind of ripping out some of the lines.
I said, I have a quirky song coming up that I'm trying to write that's only
in
puns.
In fact, somewhere, don't we still have you sang like one chorus and you didn't have all of it.
Yes, and at that time I was saying, well, so where's the disc jockey in here?
Yes.
You know, come on. That will be in the, well, I was going to say that'll be on the album version, but I guess not, because we have it on the album.
I like that.
But this is awesome. And again, I can't wait to crack this open because you said the album itself looks like the moon.
Yeah, it's got two pieces of vinyl. That's what's so heavy. It's two 160-gram vinyls in there, and they're both moon-colored, printed, manufactured, I should say, right here in Chicago.
And a listener was asking about the name of this company that prints records.
They're called Smashed Plastic. They're actually on Diversey, and we picked them up ourselves because they're very heavy and they're expensive to ship.
So we just picked them up. Yeah, nice to have
good idea.
I'm impressed here.
Well, good for Smash Plastics.
Yeah, we absolutely have to get some of the people from Smash Plastic
we'll hook that
on the show.
Sounds great.
We can make that happen. Yeah.
Because they've continued to be in business even through some of the darker days of...
Yeah, and on our reels, whether it's whether you're on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, we have a reel like three or four reels ago of them actually pressing the record.
Oh.
And it's really cool looking. Yeah. The actual process of making a vinyl record is like really sick.
Aren't they one of the largest pressers of vinyl in the Midwest?
I think in Chicago.
Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, Wilco, that's where they source their vinyls from too. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, because I think they said they had four full machines now or something like that.
Wow.
They're making some vinyl. Yeah.
Well, good.
Well, now they do 7-inch.
We need to talk to them. We need to support them because that's... I think they're people that are probably surprised that they're being cut right here in Chicago.
Yeah. It's pretty
awesome. Because I think of, wasn't it Jack White bought all the equipment down in Nashville?
And Taylor Swift bought an entire vinyl factory as well.
Yeah.
And I get why. They're both producing a lot. But Smash Plastic is still taking small projects like ours and doing like a really bang-up job. And it's very cool that they're doing that here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to ever see there was a TV special with Jack White? And he took people like Elton John into the studio, and they did a one take where they were recording onto this wire recorder.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Does that make it loud? Was it
something?
He's
like,
a fascinating character.
Yeah, he's a really interesting character.
He's an old soul
guy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's spending money on stuff that everybody goes, really?
Midwest guy, you know, a lot of interesting projects, always, you know, doesn't put too much of the computers into his sound, no matter what he sounded like. I appreciate that about him.
2024 has been a wonderful year for you. What are you looking forward to in 2025?
Ooh.
And can you give us any hints of things?
I'm looking forward to going back to Abbey Road Studios.
Yeah, we're going back to Abbey Road. You know, we're playing a venue we've never played before in 20... Well, we're playing Ireland, so we've never played Ireland, so that'd be cool.
Good.
And we're playing... a venue called the London Palladium, which is where John Lennon said to the Queen,
famously,
"Everyone rattle your jewelry." So we get to play. That'll be a special moment, I think, to be able to play the London Palladium.
You'd be able to Al Stewart for that?
Yeah, well, we're doing Al Stewart's retirement tour.
His farewell tour.
And that includes 12 shows in the UK and two in Ireland. That is going to be a highlight for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I need to send you a video of the London Palladium when Dwayne Eddy played one of his last tours over there.
And Al Stewart credits Dwayne Eddy for his career as well.
Hmm.
He says that hearing that, going to that show as a young man with his mother changed his life and made him wonderful.
I had no idea.
Yeah, Dwayne Eddy was a big, big deal in the UK in the late 50s, early 60s. One of the first guys to like implement a true electric guitar amp. I mean, that guy was innovative.
And there were years when Dwayne beat Elvis in all of the musical polls over in Great Britain.
Oh, yeah.
And his last album was done in Great Britain and charted over there, too.
And Dwayne was one of the few artists who, in the late 50s, early 60s, could recreate live the sound that he got on his records. Mm-hmm. He had the specially built amp. And
yeah, that's way ahead of his time. I mean, they weren't producing guitar amps.
Yeah, the music sounds so simple. Right. And then when guys pick up the guitar and they go, oh, well, no, I guess it's not that simple.
Well, he has his own feel, which is so cool.
Yes.
It may have been Keith Richards who said, anybody can play a low E note, but when Dwayne Eddy plays it, it's lower.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely true. There was one time, Johnny and I were at Dwayne's house one time.
Oh, wow.
And he let me play the guitar, his original Gretsch 6120. Oh, and
You levitated right there.
I did.
I'm like, come back.
But there's what sounds like a very basic song, Moving and Grooving, which is...
Great song.
But Dwayne showed me there's a thing he did, because I could never really match what he did, and he showed me a little fingering thing he did, and it was like, okay, I can die now. That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool about Dwayne Eddy, too, is like some of that stuff I think it's lost. It's harder for somebody like me, born in the 80s, to listen to it because they didn't, you know, Dwayne Eddy never heard the Beatles when he wrote that. He never heard Zeppelin. Like, it came before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So some of it doesn't sound... Some of that even simple Dwayne Eddy stuff still could be like a indie rock band.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is
absolutely
perfect.
Yes.
Timeless, great guitar playing.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have great conversations with you guys in studio.
Okay, on my wish list for 2025, you guys are at Abbey Road. There's a time difference. We want to talk to you from
Abbey
Road.
Call there.
Yeah, we're going to make that happen.
Yes, yes, yes.
We can vicariously live for
you
there.
Last time we were in Studio 3, this time we just said, forget it. We're renting Studio 2, so we're in the main Beatles studio. We have to speak to you from Abbey Road.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes, yes.
I love that.
And you can see the Empty Pockets in Baraboo on the 30th and at Space in Evanston on December 1st and Minneapolis in Wisconsin, Alma, Wisconsin, Green Lake, Wisconsin, Kent, Ohio. Go to their website. You can see if they're coming to your town and go out and see them live.
And the website is theemptypockets.com.
Love you guys. Thanks a million for coming in.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
I want it safe. I want it sustainable. It's got to be natural and fair tradable. Good for my body, good for the soul. I want some gluten-free rock and roll.
Hey!
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, the home of gluten-free rock and roll and everything else gluten-free.
Yes.
And... we have had so many requests as we're getting close to the holidays. People are planning for Thanksgiving and other holiday dinners, and we've had a lot of people asking about Johnny's gluten-free recipes.
Yes. I'd like to start with Thanksgiving and turkeys, because I learned years ago that not all turkeys are created alike. So if you're going to be cooking a gluten-free turkey, if there are family members or guests that are coming to the house and they're very seriously gluten-free for medical reasons, it's one thing to choose it as a diet. It's another thing to choose it for medical reasons. And you want to be the conscientious host or hostess. You want to be very careful about the turkey that you buy. Some turkeys have a solution injected in the turkey, and 99% of the time that solution has gluten in it. It has wheat. So you need to read your turkey labeling. Butterball is wonderful about stating clearly on the turkeys that their turkeys are fresh and frozen and they're gluten-free.
But again, take the time to read the labels.
Yes.
And if you have anybody in your family, anybody as a guest that is gluten-free for medical reasons, it makes a difference?
I can recall years ago, before we saw a lot of good labeling on foods, standing in the Jewel in the meat department, calling the phone number that was on a turkey because the turkeys were like dirt cheap. And I just couldn't tell if this was going to be a gluten-free turkey. And I called the number that was on the label of the turkey, and I was told that, no, it's not. So I went, oh, okay, it's the cheapest bird there, but it's not the safest bird for us. Purdue Farms offers a gluten-free turkey. Plainville Farms, I know Whole Foods carries a turkey that has a huge label on it that says it's gluten-free, because I think some people have often assumed, you know, well, chicken, it's a bird. Why wouldn't it be gluten-free? Now, you can get a gluten-free turkey that comes with a plastic bag of gravy fixins. Throw that away. That gravy's going to have flour in it, which is going to be wheat flour. So be aware of that. Of course, you could make it. Just don't offer it to your guests that are gluten-free. And again, if you think this is overreacting, then you are not taking seriously what is a very serious health condition. You wouldn't laugh at a person who's a diabetic if they were given sugar and they went into a diabetic coma. You wouldn't laugh at a person that you fed a food that you claimed was gluten-free and they got violently ill. And because again, that can happen.
Just to reemphasize, there is a huge difference between being gluten-free because you're on a gluten-free diet and being gluten-free because you've been medically diagnosed as having celiac sprue.
And a microscopic crumb of gluten can make a very sensitive person very, very sick. And not for an hour or two. It can literally last for days.
Yep.
As you know, when you've been glutened, it takes some time.
Been there, done that.
It takes some time to get over it. And it really, it sucks because everything just kind of falls in on you, including the fact that you just don't want to move because you're sick. Okay. One of the most popular recipes that over the years we've talked about when we would do a Thanksgiving morning show, we always had our brother-in-law, Chef John, on so that he could share the stuffin' muffin recipe. Now, a listener said that they saw a stuffin' muffin recipe in the 70s, and that may be true. Maybe that's, you know, John saw it back in the 70s, but it was a tradition in our family. And then Rachel Ray stole the idea and started calling them stuffin' muffins, and so John used to enjoy laughing about the fact that he was... His idea was stolen away by Rachel Ray. But
and let me go back to one of the first years that John ever did this. And basically, it's and you'll get into the specifics of the recipe, but basically it's stuffing, but you kind of make it into the shape of muffins. And
you put
get
it in
a
your
little,
muffin tin.
Get it a little crispy. But we used to, literally, when we'd be coming from Munster to do the show, we would bring a bag of stuffing muffins.
Right.
And just munch on them. They're so good.
They travel beautifully.
Oh,
I mean, you can put them in your coat pocket, and they're great when they're cold, too, because they're crispy on the outside, but then there's that little poof of soft stuffing on the inside. And when they come right out of the oven, they're amazing.
Okay, people are salivating now.
Well, obviously, you're going to have a bread product to use to make your stuffing. And I use a product made by Alia. A-L-E-I-A, Alia, and it's readily available in Jewel, Mariano's. I think I saw it at Walmart. Also, Whole Foods, Woodman's, they all carry this Alia's Savory Stuffing, gluten-free. You can get it on Amazon. It's not terribly expensive. Most gluten-free food is marked up. It's obscene when a loaf of bread costs you $9, and it's a smaller loaf of bread than your loaf of Wonder Bread, but That's life. That's the way it is. But with this stuffing mix, you can get the savory stuffing mix is what I use. And I just use my usual dressing recipe, which means with a stick of butter, I saute onions and chopped celery. And when I get all that nice and tender, then I pour my bread, as in the stuffing that comes in the bag, into that pan. And mix it up real good with some chicken broth. Oftentimes, I will use a whole egg. Also, you are going to use a dish that you have buttered or use Pam's And be careful with your Pam, because there's Pam that has flour in it. So be sure that you're not using a Pam that has flour included. And ideally, use a glass dish if your household is not gluten-free and you're trying to make a dish that's going to be safe for a guest. A glass dish can clean up nicely. There are some dishes that have a lip on them or a pan that has a lip, and believe it or not, even if you put it in the dishwasher, it can still harbor some crumbs that mm-hmm. can be dangerous. Or just buy an aluminum throwaway pan.
Sure.
That's a super simple way to do it. If you want to prove to your guests that you're really going all the way to make sure that they're safe. So once you mix all of your goodies together with your chicken broth and your egg and your celery and your onion and your stuffing mix, and you got it all mixed up nicely.
I'm getting so hungry right now.
You can put it in that pan, or you can put it in muffin tins, and that's where you get stuffin' muffins. Now, the secret when you're using stuffin' muffins is you baste your turkey, and you take some of the juice that you're taking off the turkey, and you squeeze it on top of each one of the muffins. Now, see, that's the secret to it. Then you get that really nice, juicy, crispy outside with that soft poof of stuffing on the inside. Now, I will post this recipe. It's been up on our blog for, well, a good 3 or 4 years now, with a picture of the stuffing muffins. I even have a little muffin tins that look like bunts. So we made little bunt muffins. And as I said here on the blog, don't be surprised if as your guests are leaving, they ask if they can take a few of them home.
They will.
And stuff them in their pocket. If you like a little variety, you can add a dollop of cranberry sauce on top. And that's what the bunt muffin tins are good for. But you can also get throwaway muffin tins, too, if you have some concern about your muffin pans. Maybe you don't put them in the dishwasher because you're afraid that that's going to affect them.
In fact, would you think for someone who's going to be cooking gluten-free for the first time, throwaway pans and dishes are kind of a good idea?
I would do that, yeah, absolutely.
Until you get really familiar with how to do this.
And cutting boards can be very dangerous if you're cooking, and you've got to be very, very careful because cutting boards can harbor some crumbs. Mm-hmm. Again, all it takes is a crumb. We had a doctor say to you that a crumb would be like rat poison. It's that, that serious.
And again, everybody is not as sensitive to it as I am. I don't just have an allergy. I have an intolerance. There are different levels, and many people who have been diagnosed, as I have, with celiac disease, have not just an allergy, but an intolerance.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to mention that some people like apples and they like sausage and maybe they like pecans in their stuffing. You can do all of that. Apples are safe. I know Jimmy Dean sausage is a safe sausage. Mm-hmm. And you'll find sausages are labeled now gluten-free if, in fact, they are gluten-free. If it's not labeled, I wouldn't buy that sausage if that's what you want to include in your stuffing.
And read the small print. There are some products that are labeled as gluten-free, but they will have a note saying, warning, this is made on a line that also
handles
gluten, so we can't guarantee it.
We happen to like a cornbread dressing, so I make cornbread super simple because I use a yellow cornbread. I'm trying to think of, I can see the pilgrim on the box of the cornbread. It's very common, but it's gluten-free because it has no flour added to it. Now, to make your cornbread, you're going to have to add flour, and I highly recommend any of the King Arthur gluten-free flours or Bob's Red Mill.
Yeah.
All readily available in grocery stores these days. What a blessing.
And Bob's Red Mill, go to their website and you will see all the products that they have. And,
yes.
And you can order them. They can mail them to your house.
Sure, sure. But your grocery store, I'm so happy. I'm sad that in recent years, grocery stores have stopped with a section that is specifically gluten-free. Mariano's used to be great. I'd go right to that aisle and I'd get everything I needed. And then they decided they would spread it out through the store. So if
because that way you have to wander through the store and maybe you'll make more impulse purchases.
And it's time-consuming and it's frustrating because you don't always know where these things are hidden. So be patient. And if you've got the time, maybe you're going to be doing something for Christmas, go ahead. And if you don't find it in your grocery store, you can find these products on Amazon. A few more tips on cooking for the holidays, gluten-free.
And Johnny's gluten-free recipes. And we will be putting a link on our Facebook page to some of the recipes that are on our blog. So we'll let you know when that's up.
A listener asked what we do for gluten-free pie crust. Now, I use gluten-free Bisquick. Again, back to the fact that gluten-free foods cost a great deal more than your mainstream foods. If you've seen a box of Bisquick, you know it's a big honking box of Bisquick. When you get a gluten-free box of Bisquick, it's half the size and typically a couple dollars more than regular Bisquick. But it makes great, great biscuits and rolls and pancakes and waffles and pie crust. So once you've got the pie crust down, and I use butter flavor Crisco in my pie crust, and Bisquick, you can just Google the Bisquick pie crust recipe. And even though you're using gluten-free, just go ahead and use that recipe. And it's not a roll-up pie crust. It's one that you put the dough in the pan and then you work it with your hands and you work it up the sides of the dish. Mm. But again, be very cautious about the dish you're using. If you're using a glass Pyrex pie pan, that's going to be fine because there's no nooks and crannies for crumbs to hide. And probably you've put it in the dishwasher, so now it's been sanitized and it's safe. So you make your pie crust with your Bisquick, gluten-free Bisquick, available in most grocery stores. If you don't see it, ask them. They might send you to another section where you'll find the gluten-free Bisquick. So once you've made that pie crust, your pumpkin is gluten-free. If you're going to make the Eagle Brand pumpkin pie, that's gluten-free. Your spices are gluten-free. So you're good. You can make a yummy pumpkin pie. I make pecan pie. I use the Cairo syrup pecan pie recipe, but I use my gluten-free Bisquick and make my crust first. Now, there is a graham cracker crust that's available in all grocery stores that's gluten-free. Again,
and it's really good.
It's going to cost you a little bit more than regular graham cracker crust, but you can get it in chocolate and pecan and regular graham cracker. With the graham cracker crust, I make a key lime pie, I make a lemon chiffon pie, I make a chocolate pie. All of those pies would be safe. The inside, the good stuff inside that crust is safe. So if you have a favorite pecan pie recipe, make that recipe as long as there's no flour being added to it. And your vanilla flavoring, be careful. If you're using a vanilla flavoring that has gluten in it, it will state that on the bottle, on the packaging. I recently bought vanilla paste. I had previously used vanilla paste in my baking. It's a much more intense flavor. It's a little, in my experience, has been a little bit like Mexican vanilla extract, which is really good. I spent quite a bit of money for this vanilla paste. I was not familiar with the name brand, and I was shocked. Right there on the back, it said, contains gluten. Why? I don't know.
Yeah.
They're thickening it up, I guess. I don't know. But I thought, well, dang, good thing I read that because previous years it was fine and now it's not.
And I remember we were in the kitchen and you just happened to pull that out and you were looking at it and because you were about ready to cook something.
I think it was about.
And you wound up throwing that away.
It was about, I gave it away. It was $14 for that tube of vanilla paste. I'm like, oh, no. But something that simple. So you have to be really, really careful. So I guess what I'm trying to say is if this sounds cumbersome, if it sounds difficult, it doesn't have to be.
And fortunately there are a number of gluten-free products that are available in your big box stores.
Yes.
Whole Foods, Jewel,
Mariano's.
Mariano's.
Yes. I just looked up. Midel is the company that makes the gluten-free graham cracker crust. Midel, M-I-D-E-L. Bob's Red Mill also offers a pie crust mix. Makes a dandy pie crust. I just happened to buy Bisquick by the case, so I've got plenty of it around the house.
And what is the... Is it Whole Foods that has the gluten-free bread that we really like?
They do have their own gluten-free bread that's available. That it's a white bread that we like a lot. And in fact, you can use that if you want to leave it out or bake it and dry it out. You can use that for your stuffing, too, if you've got a loaf of gluten-free bread.
And there's also a company, I believe it's called Canyon Bakery.
Oh, Canyon Bakehouse is your favorite purchased bread, which you can get at Jewel. And we've never been to Woodman's. I can't wait to go to Woodman's because everybody tells me that they have an awesome selection of gluten-free products at Woodman's. One of the new sponsors here at WGN. Got to get up there to see their stuff. They carry the King Arthur's line of gluten-free foods. Love them. That's high-quality, good stuff. But, for example, you can get a box of gluten-free pie crust made by King Arthur, $7.95 for that. And that's before you put your add-ins to make the pie crust. But you get a couple pie crust out of that. And if you happen to be at Whole Foods, they have a ready-made pie crust in their freezer department, which is really pretty yummy, too. So if you want to surprise your family members who are gluten-free, if you want to do... I mean, it would be the best gift in the world if they came to your house and you said, look, here's what I made. And it's for you, and we don't have to make a big deal about it because it tastes really good. Nobody's going to know that it's gluten-free, so just enjoy. Eat that dressing. Have that pie. It's going to be safe, and so is the turkey while we're at it. Cranberry sauce, that's safe. Easy peasy.
And for those of you who want a little more information, we're going to come back to this in the 1 o'clock hour. We've got some more recipes, and we'll put a link to our blog with a lot of gluten-free information on it on our Facebook page. So stick around. We got a lot more coming up. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
It's kind of trippy sounding.
Far out, man. Whoa.
Yeah.
We're going to segue into the world of cyberspace now as we are joined by the Director of Educational Technology of the Keck School of Medicine of USC. That would be your Dr. Patrick Crispin. Hey, Patrick. How you doing?
Hey, Patrick.
Woohoo! How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
There is so much to go over this week.
Oh, yes.
We have. I'm not even sure exactly where we want to start, but let me say for people who are wondering what we're going to be talking about tonight, we're going to cover everything from how to completely abandon Twitter, Blue Sky 101, the Google antitrust case, some options for secure email, new Windows laptops, holiday gift ideas, and that's just...
Yes.
Before
we get into all that, can I just say really quick, Patrick, our condolences, sir. Another tough game for the Crimson Tide.
Oh, no! You scared me!
But here's the thing, though. They'll still get a decent bowl game. They just won't get into the playoff this year.
No. They're not going to get into playoffs. However, I still think Alabama could still win the national championship if Mike Pence has courage.
Roll Tide.
Okay.
Where do we start, Patrick? What do you want to start with?
Well, actually, I'd like to segue to something that that you discovered, and we were talking about Saturday afternoon about the new browsers.
Aloha? Are you familiar with Aloha, Patrick?
I'm not.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
I just came across Aloha. And apparently it's super safe, and it was mentioned in the same same paragraph with Firefox Focus. Do you know Firefox Focus?
I don't either. You're putting me on the spot here, and I apologize. I don't know.
Well, honestly, this is the first I had ever seen either one of those names mentioned, and they're supposed to be super, super safe. And with Firefox Focus, apparently it's really easy for you to hit one button and you erase your history. Boom, just like that. If that's important to you. Yeah.
So it sounds like it's got a built-in VPN for you.
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
Okay.
And I apologize for blindsiding you on this, but this is just something Johnny and I were talking about.
We were coming into
Saturday
work tonight.
Afternoon.
Yeah. And I said, so have you tried, you who have so many browsers on the computer, have you tried Aloha? Yeah, and he said, what are you talking about? And I said, I just came across it this morning.
And I'd never heard of either of these. And you got it from there's a tech site that you follow?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was just one paragraph. It said, if you're looking for a new browser that's super safe and it's easy to clean up afterwards, then try Aloha or Firefox Focus. Okay, in a world with multiple browsers on our machine, I guess we'll give them a try.
So we'll add that to your hard drive of things to look up, Patrick.
Okay. Absolutely.
All right, where do you want to start?
Why don't we talk about Windows laptops?
Okay.
We're now kind of getting to the point where people are saying, okay, it's time for us to look at maybe getting a new laptop. And I think I'm going to go out and get a new laptop. And you might be tempted to go get a new Windows laptop right now. I'm going to tell you why you don't want to do that quite yet unless you've got a lot of money. Here's the reason why. Back in 2020, while we were all locked down with COVID, Apple ended up releasing their Apple Silicon chips. They revolutionized the laptop chip business. Taiwan Semiconductor made new chips for them. They were based on mobile architecture. And these things were, one, fast as heck, and two, the battery life is just absurd all day long. I mean, Steve, you've got an Apple, and I mean,
it's crazy.
You can go days on this.
We have two Mac Airs, one in Chicago, one in Florida. And I'm not exaggerating. I will use this just about every night. And maybe, emphasis on maybe, once a week I have to charge the battery. Mm-hmm. Maybe once a week.
So basically, you had Apple that had sort of like the Ferrari-like chips and Honda Civic-type chips in the Windows computers. And it was true for the longest time. There was just no competition in the Windows laptop chip world until the last few months. Now, Apple continued to make new chips. They have the M3 and the M4. But within the last couple of months, AMD has come out with new Ryzen chips. This is the HX300 series. Qualcomm has the Snapdragon X Elite. The ones you want to look for are the Intel Core Ultra. That's Intel Core Ultra, the Lunar Lake chips. And these are super fast, amazing energy efficiency. They beat any sort of old Windows chip that's ever been out there. It rivals what you can get in a Mac today. The battery life in this is going to be so much longer that actually your computer's going to last longer because you're going to have to charge it less. Remember, charging a laptop actually causes the laptop's battery to die out over time. So now you've got a chip that can go head-to-head with an Apple chip, the M series chips. So now's the time to go get a Windows computer, right? No, not at all. It turns out that computers with the newest chips, the chips like the Intel Core Ultra, those computers start at $1,200. And I actually saw a couple at Costco. I think they were like $800-$900. But if you're looking for a new computer, that's a lot of money. So you kind of want to go and, well, let me give $500 or $600 computer. And it's going to be last year's chip. And last year's chip is so bad compared to this year's chip. Much worse battery life. It's going to be much hotter. It's going to be louder because you've got the fans running all the time. And instead of going out and getting the newest chip, you're buying last generation's chip. Instead of a Windows Ferrari, it's kind of a Windows Civic, a used Windows Civic. So my recommendation is, if you have a budget, get a laptop with one of the new chips, not the old chips. So in other words, if you're going to be getting one, if you're getting an Apple, an M3 or an M4, 16 gigabytes RAM, the M1 MacBook's still a fantastic computer. If you can find an AMD Ryzen HX 300 series, get it. Qualcomm Snapdragon X Elite. But honestly, just look for the words Intel Core Ultra. That's Intel Core Ultra, not Intel Core i5 or any of those others.
Ultra.
Core Ultra. They're available everywhere. But if you don't have a budget, just wait, because these great Core Ultra chips are going to be on discount next year, yeah. Just not this year. Mm-hmm. That's my recommendation.
Let me throw in one comparison, and you've been talking about Ferrari. Let me use another car comparison. The difference is, if you were driving a four-cylinder car in the 80s,
yes,
as opposed to a four-cylinder car turbocharged, mm-hmm, in 2024, that's the difference you're talking about.
With hybrid support, you know, so that you're getting like 40 miles to the gallon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is the new Intel Core Ultra chips, and of course the AMD Ryzen HX 300 and the Qualcomm Snapdragon X, but these are so much better, like to the point where you can't consider buying anything but these. And if you're going to buy them, you're going to open up your wallet and you're going to be pouring out lots and lots of money until you wait. So now is not the time to get a Windows computer unless you have a lot of money in your pocket.
Yeah. And again, hear clearly what Patrick is saying. Patrick is not saying don't get a Windows computer. Patrick is saying if you're going to wait, get this.
Yes.
Because it makes that much difference.
It's going to be night and day.
But I would like to say that the MacBooks that we've purchased, I
love these.
I'm nothing but impressed with them.
And you just made me think of something that I wasn't really conscious of. But when you talk about the difference in how the computers run, I used to, if I was sitting on the couch or something and using my laptop, after a while I'd have to move it because it would get kind of hot.
Yep.
No longer with the Mac Air. I can sit there for a couple hours working on stuff, and I'm good.
And if you have to take it on a plane with you, I remember how cumbersome our laptop was. This is a piece of cake. It's like taking a paperback book on the plane with you.
And the reason why is this is actually based on mobile phone chip architecture, where they've spent 20 years getting the mobile phone so that they can, mm-hmm, be really, really fast and not get hot. And they've now kind of made them so much bigger that they can go into computers and power a computer much faster than the older chips. But Apple was the first to do it with the M1, mm-hmm, chips. We now finally have chips in the Windows boxes, but they're so new, you're going to pay too much for them.
Another thing that Johnny and I found within the past 24 hours that you might want to check out. It is a documentary.
Mm.
It is on HBO. You may have to go for on-demand or something. We found we didn't have to pay it, but we found it. And the name of the documentary
Surveilled.
Is
Surveilled. It's the Ronan Farrow's story about how we're all being observed all the time with our phones and such. And he's a good investigative reporter. And if you Google it tonight, you will find at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's a movie called Surveilled, but it's actually a crime horror movie. Same title. So you're looking for the documentary, brand new documentary. It was out November 15th.
So do a search for Ryan Farrow.
Ronan.
Ronan Farrow. I'm sorry.
R-O-N-A-N.
And he also did an interview with Scott Simon on Morning Edition on Saturday on NPR.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe some of the footage they have from this was done over in Europe, and they're talking with some of the people that are responsible for saying basically, oh, well, yeah, we can kind of surveil you with these phones. And apparently there was some of this technology was purchased by the FBI, and they said, oh, we're just going to research this, and now it's starting to come out, well, they've not just been researching it, they've been implementing it.
Using it.
And a lot of it has to do with stuff you need to be aware of with your cell phones. We are now in the era of Big Brother.
After I heard that interview, I immediately turned my phone off. I thought, I'm going to do my part to shut it down for at least an hour or so.
We have so many things. Do we want to jump into how to get rid of Twitter?
Well, Blue Sky was the biggest story of the past week.
It was.
Everybody was posting on Facebook that this was their new Blue Sky address. And that's one of my problems with Blue Sky is the goofy way your address looks when you... I don't know. I'm being overly picky, but I feel comfortable at Blue Sky. I'm liking it so far.
And Patrick, you tell me, from what I've been researching, and I've done a lot of reading, I'm enjoying Blue Sky, but I've also done a lot of reading about what it is, and you can give us the 101 on that. But one of the things I'm thinking, Blue Sky may not be the biggest. I mean, Facebook still has tons of people. Twitter still have tons of people. I'm not concerned with being on the biggest. I like the way this site functions. I like what it's doing. To me, it reminds me of Twitter back in the beginning days of Twitter, when Twitter was good.
And that's because it is. This actually started as a Twitter project and then spun out and became its own stand-up sort of social media site. Let me ask you a question. And when you first joined social media, and this may have been a long time ago, the reason why you probably joined social media was so that you can follow your friends.
Yep.
And see updates from your friends and see what they post and like what they post. And somewhere along the way, the social media companies realized that they had your attention. And because they had your attention, they could sell that attention and tweak your feed to create these algorithms. So they're going to say, okay, well, yeah, you've got your friends, but you know what? We think you're also going to go like this as well. And by the way, they're paying us to show this to you. And it stopped being more about your friends and seeing what's going on with them, and more about the ads, and more about outrage, and more about just garbage, and people just got a bad feeling about social media. Blue Sky kind of promises, and I think a lot of people are kind of saying, hey, this is what social media used to be like. When you go to social media, and Steve and I have been there for a long time. We joined back in September or October. And when we first joined, nobody was there. It was a ghost town. And within the last couple of days, just everybody has signed up for it. And what's happened is now that you get more and more people there, when you go to Blue Sky and the first thing you see when you get into it isn't an algorithmic feed, it's a feed of the people that you follow. Yeah, I mean, the first tab that you get into it is following. It's literally only the people that you're following. The next tab over is then popular with friends, which are the things that your friends are following and posting and extra things that you might not be following already. And then only do you get on the far right-hand side, do you get to discover, which is the algorithmic feed.
Right.
But if you want to go back to see, I just want to see what Mike Dunford's posting. I just want to see what Steve King's junk posting, or, you know, just the people that I follow, Popat, Pixelated Boat. I just want to see that. I don't want to see all the extra stuff. That's the great thing about Blue Sky is you can just go there and get there. And the numbers that we're seeing right now is, as of just a few minutes ago, there are now 22 million people on Blue Sky.
Whoa,
that's wonderful.
Fantastic.
Am I overstating to say that your main feed, to oversimplify it in my pea-sized brain, it's an algorithm that you create?
Exactly. It's just giving you the stuff. And again, that's probably one of the reasons why people... Threads is still nice and it's bigger, but Threads is part of Meta, and mm-hmm. it still has an overly aggressive algorithm. And Blue Sky really is Twitter like back in 2008. So it's really just the people you follow. They've got some great self-moderation tools. In fact, something called the nuclear block, where I think one of the things we've seen on social media is you'll post something and there are going to be some griefers who get who kind of post and say, I'm going to be really contrary and just make you feel bad about yourself because that makes me feel good about myself. And they're just terrible people.
Yeah.
You have the ability on Blue Sky to not only block them, but to make it so they can never see you again. It's like, bye, Felicia. You push the button, they're gone. Yeah. And it is, and they go off in their own little angry little world, and you get to be in your own. And that's really kind of the great thing about it, is that you get to go and say, I only want to see what I want to see, not when some company has paid for me to see, or more importantly, what same angry person who is going to force their way in and say, I want you to pay attention to me. It's like, no, I just don't feel like paying attention to you. Bye.
I also think that algorithm thing is also, it kind of like hurts people in our business from getting their content out because it might keep their stuff from being seen. I know I kind of feel that way because I put out a lot of content every week and I don't think everybody's seeing it. And then when I hear about all these algorithms, especially when it comes to Facebook and Twitter, that, you know, I can't figure that's probably the main culprit. And I know certainly in our business, that could be a pain.
Sure.
I'm actually seeing bigger engagement numbers. I saw something earlier today where a post was posted by the New York Times over on Twitter, or X, and over on Blue Sky. And X has millions and millions and millions more people. And the number of people who reposted it was like 200 or something like that. And the number of people over on Blue Sky was exponentially more. In other words, if you are in the media, you kind of are going to Blue Sky now because you know that you can reach out to the people and just reach them directly and not have some, you know, you don't have Meta who's saying, well, I've decided I don't want WGN to be posted anymore. Right. Or no, I want to see the stuff I want to see. And that's the great thing about Blue Sky.
And one of the things that I'm noticing more and more about Blue Sky that we used to see in Twitter, if there's a breaking news story, you can go to Blue Sky and you will follow that breaking news story.
Yeah.
And that is just starting to happen. And really, again, the number of people, we're $22 million people in it right now. 30 days ago, they were like 10 million. 90 days ago, with 6 million. So what happens is a social media site reaches sort of a tipping point where the people you really want to follow, the important people, they're when they finally show up and start posting the content, that's when this thing takes off. As I said, Steve and I joined back, you know, it was a ghost town last year.
At you guys. Really?
It's like, why are you on Blue Sky? Yes. And it finally caught up. And I just think a lot of people are kind of saying, I'm tired of the algorithm. I want to talk to my friends and only my friends. And I'm going to get off of, I'm going to stop posting on X.
Yeah.
Obvious question that we didn't address from a 773 area code. How do you sign up for Blue Sky?
Well, that's a darn good question. Yeah. Thank you, listener.
And actually, it's really simple. If you go to bsky.app, so it's not bluesky.com, it's bsky.app. Once you get there, you'll see a create account, and it's literally as simple as creating an account. Once you get there, then you need to choose all the people you want to follow, and you get to kind of follow them and subscribe them. It's just like any other social media site. I will tell you, Blue Sky works best when you go and find the people that you like and follow a lot of people and a lot of organizations and a lot of groups. So think about the people that you follow on other social media. Chances are they're over on Blue Sky. Follow them there. And as you do that, then your feed becomes so much more rich.
There are also some additional apps you can get that will allow you to, I believe, import from Twitter/X your friends from there or from wherever. But just look around. It's a very friendly environment.
It's a good thing to start fresh, too.
Yeah.
Just think, do I really want to? Yeah, I think I want to follow this person.
Yeah.
Or I'm looking for someone that I followed all the time over on X. And I never followed the author Stephen King until this past week. Because when he decided, Mr. Dark decided that he was leaving X because it was too dark, I was like, yeah,
yes.
Okay, I got you. You're on my feed now.
And the master of the horror novel said, no, this is too much for me. I've got to leave Twitter/X. Too dark for me.
And while we are technically still on Twitter/X, I haven't posted anything since I posted the notification about Blue Sky, which I'm surprised is still up there. But we have not posted anything new, and we're going to get the heck off Twitter/X. So now we segue into, how do we do that and make sure we've done it as effectively as possible?
You've got a couple options. You can archive your tweets, and that's the first thing you want to do is get a copy of your tweets or the things that you posted, or I guess they're called now X's. You can then go and delete your tweets, and that's a little more difficult than you think it's going to be. And then you can either deactivate your account, which I actually don't recommend you do, or you can do what's called sanitizing and abandoning. I'm going to talk about all those. For archiving your tweets, it's actually really simple. In your iPhone, you can just go into settings and there's a download the archive of your data. You can also do that on a desktop as well. And you can download an archive, or technically you can request an archive of your tweets. I did that about a year ago before I deleted my account, and I never actually got my archive because apparently Twitter had fired all of their staff and it didn't work. So you have to say, if you want to have a copy of your tweets, there is a way to do it. The other thing you can do then, after you've archived your tweets, you've got a copy of the things you've posted to Twitter/X over the years, you can then go back and delete your tweets. So you don't want to just leave them up there. You want to get rid of them. You can manually delete the individual tweets. And if you don't tweet that much, you can do this. It's going to be pretty quick. If you posted lots and lots and lots of stuff, it's going to take you forever, because deleting every single post and every single comment and every single like it's just going to be terrible. There are companies that will actually go and delete your tweets for you. There's tweetdeleter.com. There are also competitors out there like TweetDelete, but tweetdeleter.com. And for like $4.99 to $7.99, you can delete, $4.99 a month, and you don't need to do it yearly. You can delete 3,000 tweets a month. For $7.99 a month, you can delete unlimited tweets and auto-unlike anything you've ever liked. And there's also an add-on for you where it can do the archives for you if you want to do it. But you've archived your tweets, you've deleted your tweets, and now you can go and deactivate. And the reason why I don't recommend you do that is, once you deactivate, anybody can claim your account and become you. So what's going to happen is, if you have a X.com account and it's a really good address and people know you, you could have some scammer say, oh, well, this address is now available. I'll come in and I'll be Steve King and Johnny Putman. And, oh, by the way, I want to sell you my crypto, gluten coin. And and you've got to be concerned about that. The other thing is, you do have to be aware that I guarantee you that Elon and Twitter and X are going to give away or sell accounts that haven't been used in a while. So you deactivating your account is not necessarily a good idea. You can find the instructions online. We can actually post these on the website if you want. The big thing to remember is that once you go and deactivate your account, X actually retains your information for 30 days, hoping you change your mind. My recommendation instead is, once you've archived your tweets, once you've deleted your tweets, sanitize and abandon your account. You go into settings and privacy and safety, audience and tagging, and something called protect your posts. And what that does is, it basically says, I'm going to go put a walled garden around all my posts, and we're kind of hiding out here. Nobody can see me. Nobody can interact with me. You then go and enter your profile and change your picture, change your name. Don't forget your photo and just change everything. And then you kind of just walk away from the account. So it's still there. Nobody can take it over. But just be aware, if you don't use it for a while, I guarantee you that they're going to take it away from you anyhow. But I do recommend sanitizing and abandoning before you go and deactivate. Full disclosure, I deactivated. I just wanted to leave a year ago, and I just said I'm willing to run the risk. And it turns out that my last name, Crispin, is a very popular name in South Africa. And some South African got it. And again, he's not pretending to be me, and I'm happy for him to have it. So
I'm thinking what we may do is just delete individual tweets, but then leave up the most recent tweet about blue sky, and maybe once a month post a blue sky tweet. And live it like that.
And that will be tamped down, because what ends up happening is that the algorithm, we talked about that earlier, the algorithm says, I don't want people knowing that blue sky exists, so I'm going to push that down so it can't be seen. And
But what I find fascinating,
the other reason to go to blue sky.
Most of the people that I've talked to that have had that problem have been people that have posted and written in the word blue sky. I didn't do that. I just posted a graphic that has to do with blue sky. And it's still up there, and I posted it a couple weeks ago. So, Patrick, I think we're going to have to move some of the things we'd planned to talk about this week to your next visit with us. But we did want to spend a little time talking about some holiday gift ideas.
But before we make that transition, can I sneak in one text from 872 area code? I'm still confused. Why would I want to leave X? So take a minute, Patrick, and in your opinion, why would one want to leave X?
It really, if you're happy with X, stay. Don't. It's really for people who are saying, I'm not really liking the content that we're seeing here. I'm seeing a lot of crypto scams. I'm seeing a lot of things that are just not very friendly to my communities, and I just don't want to be a part of this anymore. But if you look at this content and you look at your feed and go, I like this, this is cool, for the love of God, don't leave. You found your place. But if you don't feel welcome, if you don't feel like this content really represents what you want to see and you want to see something else, then that's why blue sky's there. It's an alternative.
That's why I mentioned Stephen King, the author, who said, to me, the greatest quote of the past week, it's just too dark over there.
And if you feel that it no longer represents the reasons you went there in the first place, then check out blue sky. But as Patrick said, if you're happy with X, fine, stay there.
Of course.
Okay. Over the next few visits with Patrick, we're going to talk about some gift ideas. And Patrick, you went all out with these categories. So lay some of them on us. Stocking stuffers, for example.
I'm a big fan of stocking stuffers. You have to go to a party and it's like, okay, you're allowed to spend $25 and no more than $25. What do you get? And what everybody shows up with is either alcohol or lottery scratchers. And it's like, or gift cards. And I really want to be a little more inventive than that. There is something, and I saw this when we were at Disneyland a lot this summer, and everybody was wearing these things. Have you seen rechargeable neck fans?
I love this.
It's sort of this little horseshoe that you wear around your neck. It's not very heavy. It's charged with a USB-C battery, and you plug it in to charge it and walk around. And it's a fan that kind of blows cool air on your head. And I was going, okay, this has got to be a complete total scam. And we bought some and they work and they're really, really, really amazing. So for $25, if you're looking for a good stocking stuffer or white elephant,
If you do gardening, it's a brilliant idea.
Fantastic.
If you're dealing with power surges, as we women come to a point in our life mm-hmm. where we frequently have power surges, oh my gosh, it's brilliant.
You would have loved this when you were working in the garden this past summer.
Oh my, yes.
Because there were so many days when Johnny would come in after spending several hours in the garden, and she was just...
Yes.
I can't believe I'm so hot.
So you say you see a lot of people walking around Disney wearing them now.
Everybody's wearing them at Disney. And it's like, okay, we'll try this out. The brand that we recommend, we can post this in the show notes, is there's a Chilgo is the name of the company. Project Farm is a YouTube channel I follow, and they kind of did a really scientific review of the neck fans. Hmm. There were some really expensive ones, and that one was probably the one that was the best buy. $25 at Amazon, and it's called the Chilgo Bladeless Neck Fan. We have three.
I love it.
Okay.
That's great. Okay, a couple more that you want to mention.
I'm going to shock you. Mm-hmm. Amazon has a sale on Yeti products.
Oh.
Yeti products never go on sale.
No.
Like, never go on sale. And we're talking 10 to 50% off and lots in the 20 or 30% off range for Black Friday. So, you know, a $38 Rambler tumbler is now $26.50, $50 Rambler bottles for $35. Coolers, Yeti coolers, they are on sale as well. I will tell you, the color choices are limited. And when I say the color choices are limited, I hope you like orange. I hope you really like orange.
Well,
or as they call it, king crab. But
crab.
There are some things that are in different colors, but my Lord, they are doing lots of orange things on sale. But again, Amazon has it, and I think Yeti has it on sale. But, I mean, like 10 to 50% off or 20% off on
Yeti
products never happens.
We are huge fans of Yeti. We have a whole slew of Yeti tumblers. In fact, over on the counter right next to me is a tumbler that has some hot chocolate in it, and it's a Yeti WGN tumbler.
Yeah.
We also bought a tumbler that corresponds with the car we recently purchased. Yeti products really work. They keep stuff really, really hot or really, really cold. They're really, really good.
It sounds like a commercial, Steve. Yeah.
I've got one that seems really, really like absurdly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things until you try it and you realize, oh, this is life changing. Johnny, I think you have one of these.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Dyson Supersonic Hair Dryer.
And I poo-pooed this until I used your wife's and I went, oh my gosh,
this has changed Johnny's life. You used to be so upset after using a hair dryer and you say your head would be...
I'd be sweating because it takes so long.
And your hair wouldn't stay the way that you had done it.
No, and I used Christine's and I said, okay, I got to pop for it.
Yep.
But I got to tell you, I'm a little... ticked off at this price.
Now, here's the thing. The price itself, normally list price, and the reason why I think this is just absurd, this usually lists for $429 for a hair dryer. And you go, is it really worth $429?
Yes.
I can tell you, if you talk to the women who use it, yes, it is. It's on sale now for $329.99 at Amazon, Best Buy, and Dyson.
So $100 off.
$100 off.
I couldn't believe
It's just like for a Dyson hair dryer. I know, again, $329 for a hair dryer. You're sitting there, are you kidding me? I swear to you, for the women in your life, if you buy this for them, this will be the gift they will remember and love you forever for.
This will cover up a multitude of mistakes.
Well, this was my birthday present from you, but I contributed by saying I have a 30% coupon from Kohl's, and Kohl's allowed us to use it on the Dyson, which I was shocked because it brought it down to the price that Amazon is now selling it for. But that's a huge, huge deal. And again, I thought it was ridiculous. I'm telling you, I'm now a card-carrying Dyson believer and user.
It's one of those great things. Yep.
I want to jump in here with a suggestion for Joseph.
Mm. Okay.
Joseph, as you know, boys and girls, Joseph has been known to like some Legos. Patrick,
yes.
Did you see the picture of the Lego Chevy that I sent you?
It's amazing. And Joseph was like, wow.
This is a full-size Chevy Silverado in the showroom made out of Legos.
Mm-mm-mm.
Do you know how much that would cost and how heavy that would be?
Yes. Well, that's right up there with an evening gown I recently saw with Legos. Can you even begin to believe how heavy that would be? And then somebody said, well, whatever you do when you come home, you don't want to take that off and drop it on the floor, because when you get out of bed and step on it, you will die right then and there. And it wasn't pretty either. It was just, somebody wanted to make a point, so they did that. Do you have any ideas for kids, gift ideas for kids?
I do actually have a really good one. This one actually is a YouTuber, Mark Rober. Everybody should know him. He's very famous. He has this company that he set up called Crunch Labs, and they have these build boxes for kids 8 to 13, and they're $24.95 a box, and you can do it monthly, do it quarterly for $30 a box. And what it does is he sends you this box with all the parts, and then you can watch a YouTube video, and it teaches your kids about engineering, about physics, and about sort of thinking like an engineer. In other words, they're building a product, and that product is actually a game or a something that shoots little Nerf gun bullets, and it is really interactive, and it's really kind of one of these things that it's like, oh, yeah, if you really want to spark an interest in science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and the arts, I think a Crunch Labs subscription, again, it's $300 for a year, but you can only get, if you want to, just get one box, it's for $24.95 or $29.95. I really strongly recommend you get that. By the way, there's something called the Hack Pack, which is available for people 14 and over, which is for programmable robots. Very strongly recommend. Go to crunchlabs.com.
And we'll put all that up on our Facebook page too, Patrick. Thank you. As always, hug the boy for us.
Thank you, Aisha.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye now.
A couple quick things. One, a lot of people have been asking, and yes, we are going to get back to some of Johnny's holiday recipes in just a couple minutes. And if you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, you will see that Johnny just posted a link that takes you to our blog, where you will find a lot of gluten-free recipes. But we want to cover a lot of ground in a short period of time, and boy, this last hour got here so quick. We want to get to some sports between the sheets and an interesting car parking incident that happened to Gabe. But Gabe, first of all, the Vikings, the Bears, what are you thinking?
Well, that blocked field goal last week, I think, took a lot of air out of the Bears' sails.
Boy, and didn't the NFL rule that it was cool? It was okay.
Yeah, there were questions about whether the Green Bay players violated the leverage rule, which means you're not allowed to push off the opposing player to get up higher to block, or you're not allowed, and I think you're also not allowed to use a teammate either. I know they've changed that rule over the years, but either way, Bears didn't do a good job protecting. You can make the argument whether or not the Bears should have tried to run one more play. Mm-hmm. That didn't make a difference to me. But certainly was a heartbreaker. Not as bad as the Hail Mary in Washington, but it was rough.
But it was so exciting for the first couple of hours. I couldn't believe what we were seeing.
And once again, I think 80% of the people, regardless of which side they were on, 80% of the people thought, the Bears are actually going to pull this off.
Yeah.
I did, too. And then and once I saw how they were setting up for that field goal, I'm like, okay, it's just a formality. Just make the field goal, and then the block happened. This week, obviously the offense looked much better, and hopefully that will continue, providing they run the ball effectively and providing Caleb Williams, makes quick decisions and gets that ball out of his hand. And, of course, the blocking is there, and the Bears are going to have to use a lot of max protection, not just the O-line, but you needed to have a tight end there, you needed to have a running back there, because the Vikings blitz. Yeah. They will come at you from every direction. They will come at you with a variety of players, not just their defensive line, not just their linebackers, but everybody. And we saw what happened last year against the Bears when Justin Fields was that quarterback. He, half the time, didn't look like he had any idea what to do.
Yeah.
And if the Bears don't find a way to mitigate this Vikings defense and running the ball effectively will certainly go a long way in doing that, then it'll be a long day for the Bears. But like I said, I'd like to see them get another win or two before this year is out. That's going to be a lot easier said than done. You know, there's a lot more flaws with this team than there are strengths.
Yeah.
So these last few weeks will certainly give us an idea of, you know, who should stay and who should go. Of course, as we all know, a lot of Bears fans feel the head coach should go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We didn't wake up OB in, by the way, did we? No.
Okay, no.
It doesn't sound like we woke him up yet.
I told you off the air tonight, I told you that if I had to make a guess, I think the Bears are going to win maybe one of their remaining games.
And even then, that's going to be a chore in itself when you take a look at what they have left.
None!
There we go. The Bears still have to play Green Bay one last time. They still have to play Minnesota one last time, and they still have both games against Detroit, not to mention Seattle and San Francisco, and that's a tough schedule to navigate.
And the Vikings are 8-2, aren't they? Coming off of three straight wins?
They are. And, you know, there was concern about how their offense would look at the beginning of the season because J.J. McCarthy, the rookie who was supposed to start at quarterback, hurt his knee in the first preseason game, and I want to say he's done for the year. Mm-hmm. And Sam Darnold, who's kind of bounced around the NFL, hasn't had the greatest career. He certainly has steadied the ship, and he will certainly give the Bears defense, he will certainly give them fits if the defense isn't on their A game. And like I said, it's going to, a home field advantage hopefully will help, but it's certainly going to be a lot easier said than done for the Bears today.
What the hell are you people thinking about?
And he'll probably say that at the end of today's game.
Yeah. I love him and OB.
My gosh.
It is great radio. Even if you don't care about sports, Hamp and OB is great radio.
Golly. So you are calling the Vikings as winning. What's your score?
I'm going to go ahead and say Vikings 20, Bears 17.
That would be nice. I mean, it was so exciting last week when it was just, they're going to make this happen.
Yeah, they're going to do it against Green Bay. How cool is this? It's not cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of not cool, can we shift gears for a moment and talk about this nightmare you've been living in?
You had a horrible experience.
What?
To the person who owns the purple GMC Acadia that is parked on the very last level of the garage at the Aqua Hotel, please move your vehicle, hopefully within the next 3 to 4 hours. You have been blocking me in since Friday night. I have not been able to move my car.
You said since Friday night.
Friday night.
You parked legally, and when you finished your shift, you went down to the garage and you were blocked in.
Correct. Anyone who's been in that garage in the very last level, literally the darkest corner of the garage, there's a small space tucked in there. There isn't much room to move because there's the space.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a load-bearing wall on one side, and there's a huge vent on the other, and that sticks out of the wall. So there isn't much room to maneuver in the first place. You slide your car in, and there's enough room for you to open your door, but that's about it, though. So I pulled into this space. I come up here for my shift Friday night. I come down in the morning just before 5 a.m., and there's this SUV blocking my way. I tried to pull out. I had no way to maneuver. And I wound up scratching the side of my car against the load-bearing wall trying to get out.
No.
My wife, God bless her, I had to wake her up at 5:15 in the morning to come and pick me up because I could not move the car. And unfortunately, the hotel is not in charge of the garage, so they weren't able to help me, and there was no employees at the garage, so I was kind of stuck, so my wife had to pick me up, and then she brought me back again this evening. And when I got here, I went down to the garage to see if I can move my car in that SUV. Now there was two SUVs still there. There's the one, and the reason why this is happening, because we've had the Lights Festival, and of course Friday night was the tree lighting ceremony. A lot of people from, you know, out of the city and even out of town coming to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's no staff in the garage there, The garage is full, but people are still coming in, and people are making their own parking spaces. So hopefully those vehicles will be moved. I ask you, I implore you, if you are happening to be listening to me, please move so I can get my car out.
And you don't have to wake your wife up in the middle
exactly.
of the night.
You're a much gentler person than I am, Gabe. If I was in this situation, I would have called for a tow days ago and send the bill to the person who has the vehicles.
Just a pile of you-know-what.
Exactly.
Well, while I do agree with you, Hamp, unfortunately, most tow trucks wouldn't be able to fit in that garage.
They won't go in the garage. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but they wouldn't be able to fit if they wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry. That really stinks. And then to have two vehicles blocking you in, that's insult to
injury. What is it, mating?
Golly.
I mean, it's just
they must be staying in the hotel.
That's what I'm guessing. And not only that, but you know, some of our coworkers here have also experienced the same thing because a bunch of us are monthly parkers to the garage there.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully those vehicles will move. But certainly, I'm going to be voicing my displeasure with the garage office for sure.
They're going to get what they deserve.
Yeah.
I'm not going to yell at them like OB would, but I certainly am going to make it known that.
Would it make any sense to go to the hotel with the license plate?
Well, that's what I did, because they said the garage is owned by a completely different company.
What?
They have no say. Yeah.
But it's called the Aqua Garage.
But couldn't they at least, even if they have no say, couldn't they identify by the license plate?
I took that approach and I got nowhere with it.
Oh, golly.
So,
and again, let's give them all the publicity in the world. This is the Aqua parking, which is connected to the Aqua Hotel.
But it's not their garage.
Right, it's standard parking, right. I believe, that owns it.
Yeah.
One of the parking companies here locally.
See, now that's when we need the Lincoln Park Pirates.
Yeah,
we get
please.
Them out there.
And see, the thing is too, and I think that this needs to be said, that a lot of the buildings around here, not just the Aqua, but the other hotels and the Prudential building, mm-hmm. while they do have parking garages, the owners of the buildings do not own the garages. They are separately owned by the you know, the different companies here. So I think that's something that we need to stress. So it's two different operations going on. But either way, there definitely should have been somebody to you know, stop letting people in once the garage got full like that. Because the other thing too was that one of the levels is under construction, so one of the levels we can't even park on right now.
Closed. Wow. Yeah.
And beyond that, there should be a 24-hour emergency number that could be called.
Right, because the only thing you could do is press the intercom where you have to pay, and hopefully somebody answers. Not always the case, but again, like I said, all I want is just for whoever owns those cars to move so I can go home.
Just let you out.
I just want to go home, damn it.
Because Gabe has been sleeping on a ledge for the past 3 days.
He's going to have to get some good Christmas presents for his wife. I mean, she brought him to work after picking him up in what basically is the middle of the night. And had to come down.
You're going to have to go for one of those $400 hair dryers.
Well, the good thing is she got more sleep than I did.
Well, that's true. But I'm sure the drive home was not good, because if you're like me, I would have been sputtering and stammering the whole way home.
Well, what I did is when she got here, I switched and I said, okay, I'll drive from here.
Oh, well, good luck.
Because I know she was tired.
If you think about it, send us a text and let us know if you get out tonight. Or later this morning.
I certainly will. I mean, and I told my wife before she went to bed a little while ago, I said, if you don't hear from me, that means I got out. If you do hear from me, that means my car's still trapped.
Yeah.
And this is one of those cases where flattening their tires would work against your purpose.
I know some people would resort to that, but I don't want a vandalism charge on my record. You know, so.
But then again, they wouldn't be able to pull out anyway to let you free. So that wouldn't work.
Exactly. So if I damage the tires, that's going to I'm going to trap my car even longer.
Oh well, good luck to you. We'll say a little prayer for you. Let's collectively, everyone listening to us right now, say a prayer
Put your hand on the radio.
Get him out of here just in a couple of hours when his shift is over with.
We'll take a break, and we're going to come back with some good recipes. So stay with us.
Thanksgiving Day, and I can't get off the couch. little Van Acid. Thanks.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
That is so cute.
That is, if you want to look that up, that's, let me see, I just had it here. It is Jacob Geiger, and it's a Thanksgiving blues. And if you look it up on YouTube, it's a lyric video that was done so the kids who you hear singing could see the lyrics as they were recording it. It's a really cute song. It's Jacob Geiger, Thanksgiving Blues. But we want to talk a little bit more because we've had a lot of people asking about a little more information for some of the Thanksgiving gluten-free recipes. And Johnny has put up a link to our blog on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And you'll find a whole bunch of gluten-free recipes. And we were talking off the air, and I think over the next couple weeks leading up to Christmas and New Year's, we'll spend a little time each week doing at least one recipe per show.
Right.
But you'll see a bunch of them on our blog.
Sure. A number of dessert ideas. The apple pa-dumpling that I came up with. It's not a pie. It's not a dumpling. So I named it a pa-dumpling. Also, the recipe for apple butter.
Apple butter is so good.
I know. We're getting hungry. Oh, boy. But we're having pot roast when we get home.
Yes.
And that's gluten-free because I use a gluten-free flour, and I take the pot roast, and I just coat it with the gluten-free flour, and I brown it in the skillet. Then I put it in the crock pot with the carrots and the onions and the potatoes.
Crock pots are your friend.
Yes. And then I use a... let me go back to being careful about what you're purchasing. If you're going to be buying chicken or beef broth, look at the box or the can closely. Some of them, in fact, have wheat added to them. And some of the main, the big name brands do not. And it is clearly stated on that box. So be careful. A lot of canned soup has wheat as a thickener in it. Like tomato soup, for example. If you buy tomato soup made in the U.S., you're going to find that it has wheat in it. If you buy the tomato soup made by Heinz
tomato soup. Now you can buy Heinz tomato soup in the U.S., it will have wheat. Heinz tomato soup that comes from Europe does not have wheat.
Right. I think the only Heinz we can get here in the States is the one that comes from Great Britain. Because I've never actually seen it on the shelves for Campbell's soup. And
well, now, this has been a year or so ago when I saw that there were both kinds for
Heinz. Careful.
But I think now Heinz obviously is our preferred when it comes to tomato soup in particular.
And
Progresso soups.
Progresso, I want to mention them. Because earlier tonight I talked about a dressing/stuffing recipe. Mm-hmm. And you will find the recipe for stuffing muffins. And it's posted with the stuffing product that I use that's gluten-free that I recommend. All of that's on our blog. But I should also mention, I'm going to share with you what I feel is the secret to the cornbread dressing I make. And that is a can of Progresso cream of mushroom soup, which is one of a handful of their soups that are labeled gluten-free. And if you put that can of cream of mushroom soup, which is not diluted in any way, in with your cornbread, your celery, your onions, your butter, your egg, your chicken broth, and you put that one can of soup, boy, that really kicks it up. I mean, the flavor is wonderful. The texture is outstanding. And thank you, Progresso, for making those. Not all of their soups. So read the label very carefully. And it clearly states if it's gluten-free. And thank goodness the cream of mushroom soup is one of those that is gluten-free.
And Progresso is one of the soup lines that has a ton of gluten-free options.
But you got to be careful because you can pick up a chicken soup and it's chicken and rice and go, oh, it's gluten-free, and then turn around and pick up another.
If it doesn't say gluten-free on the label, it's not gluten-free.
Yes. A couple of suggestions from listeners. I was talking about making a crust, and pastry crust. I use the gluten-free Bisquick. A listener said Walmart carries boxes of gluten-free Bisquick for a little over $5 a box. That's true, and that's where I order mine by the case from Walmart, because they have the best price for me. If you're just walking into a grocery store, again, I was comparing it to regular Bisquick, and the price is so much higher for a gluten-free, and you get a much smaller box than you do with the standard Bisquick. So thank you for that tip, because Walmart is a great place to shop. As is, I'm told, Meijer's also carries a lot of these products. I just don't know of a Meijer's that's convenient to us.
Yeah, there used to be a Meijer's that was over around
Dempster.
Not too far from Omega Restaurant.
Yes, in Gulf Mill. And it may still be there.
I think they closed.
I think so, too. But a listener said that Meijer carries quite a few of these gluten-free foods. So does Aldi's. And I'll just tell you from my experience, Aldi's prices are good on their gluten-free foods. I am not impressed with the quality. I hate the cake mixes. I hate a lot of the things that I've tried. Yes, the price is right, but the taste is not there. We're trying to get gluten-free so that people who are eating it that don't have to be gluten-free are okay with it. You don't want it to be like, oh, okay, I got to eat this. Yeah,
that's one of the things we discovered as we were looking up some songs that we would play. A lot of the gluten-free songs are bemoaning the taste of the gluten-free products. And all I have to say is, well, I'm sorry you don't have someone as good as Johnny as a cook, and I'm not just saying that. It's true. You wouldn't know it was gluten-free if you didn't know.
Well, we've had people at our house that said, so, is this gluten-free? And I go, yeah, that Chinese meal that you're eating, or that Mexican meal, or that Italian baked spaghetti or whatever, yes, it is. And they're really, I think, 99.9% of the time, they're surprised. Mm-hmm. Woodman's, I've mentioned it a number of times. I've not been there. I've heard that it's a wonderful place to shop for gluten-free, but a listener suggested from 630 area code, whether you're at Woodman's or any place, always check your expiration dates, because you'd be surprised some of the stuff that is left on the shelves that is outdated. And I recently turned some pie crust over to the Jewel customer service because they were 5 months old. So what had happened was they were pushed in the back, the new ones were purchased, and these came up to the front, and they were old, and they'll taste old too. We're going to take a break here on WGN. Stay with us.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. One of those Thanksgiving traditions, playing Alice's Restaurant. The whole, I believe it's 23 minutes long. We used to play the whole 23-minute version. And prior to Johnny and I being on WGN, when that record originally came out, which was in the late 60s.
67.
I was working in Indianapolis, WNAP. The frequency was 93.1. And being a rock and roll radio station, each night, because it was 93, we did the top nine tonight. And that was based on your votes. There were months at a time when that record, Alice's Restaurant,
really?
Came in the top nine. And we would play it every night, all 23
all
minutes.
Of it.
Yes.
Because there was a shortened version, radio play.
No.
We
played, because we were the cool radio station in town.
Oh,
we played the whole 9 minutes.
Did you go out and have a cigarette then?
I kind of stayed in the studio and enjoyed listening to it. It's a great song. In fact, Julian, if you've never heard that whole song, you need to listen to it. And you may not know, that was made into a movie.
Yes. And the Alice, the reason we're playing it tonight, not only because it was a tradition for us to play it every Thanksgiving night, which there was a two-edged sword there, because if we were all tryptophaned up and we were sleepy to begin with, when we played the song, sometimes we would come out of it and we just really be so tired.
Because we would play that after Muriel Anderson would have left.
Yes.
So that it was just the two of us and Alice's restaurant.
And Stuff and Muffins.
How soon is it before Max or Orion are coming in here?
So there really was an Alice. Right. Alice Brock. And Alice Brock passed away the other day at the age of 83 years old. So she was only in her early 30s when Arlo Guthrie did the song, which I've always
heard. The song was based on a true story, and that's the story that they tried to tell in the movie.
And it's a war protest song, and I've never understood how it protests the war. I've listened to it many, many times over the years.
Well, it wasn't really... It kind of explains it in the song and explains it in the movie.
I know, but it's not... Well, anyway, God bless him for doing that because...
But now you realize, having played just that part of it,
yes,
that is going to be an earworm stuck in my head for the rest of the night.
Because it's a Thanksgiving tradition. I mean, you driving over the hills and through the woods to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving, so you sing along to Alice's restaurant.
Because you can get anything you want. Excepting Alice.
Yes. And apparently she, by the time the song became very popular, and it's been incredibly popular over the years, over the decades, she had closed down the restaurant by that time. Mm-hmm. So she really didn't have a lot of people coming based on the song, but everybody knew that there was a real Alice, and she was Alice Brock, and she passed away just the other day. I think she had been in hospice care for some time, but she always thanked him for making her basically a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
But you wanted to get to one more gluten-free recipe that we mentioned in passing last week,
and you've had
so many people asking about this.
Yes, and in fact, I had a number of people that asked me on Facebook, could I repeat that grilled cheese sandwich, which, by the way, I had to go home and have one last Saturday night. We had tomato soup with a grilled cheese sandwich. I like to make my grilled cheese sandwich with one piece of bread because it's all about the cheese anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So using, now again, this is a different way to make a grilled cheese sandwich, but I promise you, it is so yummy. If you have grated cheddar cheese, you can grate your own. I actually buy the sharp, extra sharp, grated cheddar cheese. And in a nonstick skillet, I plop a handful of cheddar cheese down. And you'll be shocked as it starts to melt. The oil comes out. So now you take your piece of bread and you smash it down on that melting cheese. And when that gets good and... I'm getting really hungry.
Yeah.
It's good and mushy and it's all melted together. You lift it up gently and you put another handful of cheddar cheese in the skillet and you flip it over to the naked side of the bread. And now you get that other side of the bread. So both sides.
But you're right, the cheddar cheese makes all the difference.
So you have cheese on the outside of one piece of bread. It's a diet grilled cheese sandwich full of protein.
It's so good.
And then if you got a bowl.
And yes, we're talking gluten-free bread, but you can do it, you know, if you're not gluten-free, do it on whatever.
And if you've got a bowl of tomato soup, then you cut your cheese sandwich into 9 little squares, and now you've got croutons floating in your cheddar cheese.
I'm so hungry right now.
And the soup, and it's all melting together, and it's so yummy. So it's that simple. I think a lot of people couldn't understand, well, it sounds so simple. Is that all you do? Yes, that's all you do. So try it. You haven't lived until you've had a one slice of bread grilled cheese sandwich where the cheese becomes the cheese is holding the bread as opposed to the bread holding the cheese. And you don't use any butter. You don't need any butter because you've got the oil coming out of the cheese that makes everything stick together. Did you just hear my stomach just started? But we got pot roast waiting for us when we get home. You know, a light meal like that before we turn in for the night.
Okay, Julian, what are you hungry for?
That.
Okay.
I'm glad I had chocolate chip cookies here tonight. I made those for our guests and for Julian because I thought with this theme of food throughout the 5 hours, you got to have something to nosh on. Real quick, a listener from 708 says, I understand for health reasons why Steve is gluten-free. Has going gluten-free improved your health, even if you don't have celiac disease? I had a rheumatologist who is now at Mayo Clinic, yes. And he required you as his patient, if you have been identified as a person with any form of arthritis, whether it's fibromyalgia, which is my case, or it's osteoarthritis, whatever it is, you had to agree to go on a gluten-free diet or he would not be your doctor.
In fact, I will never forget because I was in the room with you. And when the doctor had examined, yes, Johnny, and he was telling her about fibromyalgia and stuff, and he said, if you weren't on a gluten-free diet, you would not have been able to walk into this office.
Yes, he said you would probably be on disability.
Yeah.
He said it is allowing you to function. And he says, I require my patients who have any form of arthritis to get wheat out of their diet. He, mm-hmm, said it's the number one problem with arthritis, in, mm-hmm, his opinion. And again, he was taken away to Mayo Clinic where he's now I guess he's Mayo in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting because there it was on a piece of paper, the list of things that you must do, yeah, to be his patient, and that was one of the things that he required of you. So to answer the caller, the texter's question, yeah, obviously I'm doing much better because I maintain a gluten-free diet as well.
I'm hearing the Zamboni.
I know.
The lights are starting to
already
flicker. It's that time.
You know.
That means it's we're getting close to last call, so if you, yeah, would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. And you will win some goodies from our prize list. As long as you haven't won anything from this here radio place within the past 2 months.
Or 60 days.
Yeah, whichever comes first. Mm-hmm. And you don't have anything, have to have anything pithy to say.
No.
Just, if you can just be able to make a fist
and hold that phone and
tell us what you're hungry for.
Yes. And tell us if there's anything on your menu tonight or if you're going to hold off till the Bears game tomorrow or, you know, what's Thanksgiving looking like for you? You got, yeah, anything you want to touch on that we have covered tonight? Because we've covered a lot of ground tonight. And
we will cover a lot of ground next week. We'll tell you about that after we take a break. But if you want to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. We'll take a break and get to our last call after this.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend.
It's getting late and it's getting hungry, too.
All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
Yep. Closing time. We're ready to head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
Nope.
So last week, I answered a listener who said, could you tell me where I could listen to that whole song? And I said, yes, but remember, it gets a little, yeah, racy. And I'll have to show you his answer back. He goes, wow, I'm glad I didn't play that on my way to church.
Yeah. It's I mean, we love it. It's, yes, we think it's hilarious, but we are never going to play that. It is the closing song by Red Peters, mm-hmm, and you can find it on YouTube. Closing song, Red Peters.
Yes.
Before we jump to our last caller, quick reminder, next week we have yet another full show,
mm-hmm,
and boy, have we got a lineup next week. Our buddy Jim Peterick from the Ides of March, along with the original members of the Ides of March, will be joining us in studio next week. And we'll also be talking with our friend Neil Samors, who has a terrific new book called Looking Back, Looking Forward, How Chicago Helped Shape and Build Careers Over the Decades. And it's Car Week next week. And our buddy Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide, will be joining us. So that's just part of what's going on. And Johnny will have another holiday recipe yes. for you next week.
Yes, I sure will. I'm just now, you heard the tippy typing.
I heard that.
I was answering a texter from 773 who says, I don't do Facebook. How else can I get to the S&J blog? Thank you for asking that question, because yes. not everyone uses Facebook, and we're guilty of saying all night long, go to Facebook and you can link to our blog.
Okay, let me give the blog address. The simple blog address is Steve and Johnny, steveandjohnnie.wordpress.com. steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We'd love it if you'd go to our blog, and we'd love it if you'd subscribe. There's no charge. We don't spam you. You just get an email anytime we do a new blog post. And on the right side, scroll down, and you will see a link of gluten-free diet posts.
Right.
And that's a whole bunch of posts that Johnny has put up there over the past several years mm-hmm. that have some wonderful recipes. Many of them have a lot of pictures, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Uh-huh. We've been talking during the break about which is the fastest way to get home. We're like driven, no pun intended. But it's time now for our last caller of the night, and Julian had the honor of choosing the last caller. So we're going to say good morning to Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hello, kids. How are you?
Hey, I recognize Mark. This voice. Our longtime listeners will recognize the voice of Mark the pharmacist. Hey,
yes.
Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good, thank you. Back in Illinois after moving back from Austin, Texas. Loving it here. Actually, like Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to deal with the cold than 110 degrees.
Oh, yes, it is. And you are a biker, so you've got paths here just like you had in Austin, right?
Oh, my God. This year was actually my highest year. Did over 3,000 miles since March.
3,000?
On a bicycle?
Yeah. Good for you.
Yep.
Wow.
So I'm
stunned.
One of the guys in the group who rides every single day instead of driving is over 8,000 miles.
Holy moly. That's yes. fantastic. And we were talking tonight quite a bit about gluten-free eating, and you've mastered gluten-free baking in particular. Your cheesecakes have become legendary, right, Mark?
Oh, my God. Well, I've got a bike party tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The people already said, you are bringing the cheesecake, aren't you?
Oh, my.
I've got basically this week, last week, Thursday, and then again two more times before the end of the year, I've got more of my gluten-free cheesecake. The recipe actually goes back to 1956, Chef Francois Pope, his cookbook.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The only difference is I use Char's gluten-free graham cracker.
That's great, and
you cannot tell the difference.
No.
And I prefer to use the gluten-free, because that way with the group of people that show up, I don't have to worry about if they're gluten-free or not.
Yes, that's wonderful.
And you mentioned the name Francois Pope. That shows that you are a longtime Chicagoan, people that have been around Chicago for a long time. Johnny, I wonder if you even
I know the name, yeah.
Francois Pope was a very famous chef in Chicago. And his wife, Carmelita Pope.
Oh, yes.
And that just popped into my head. They used to do a TV show that I think was on Channel 7. It was kind of a midday-ish cooking show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm missing the cover, but I do have his book. It's autographed.
Oh, my.
How cool.
Now, do you use a spring foam pan? It is a spring foam, so it's a big traditional cheesecake, New York cheesecake.
And I actually put the picture of it on the site. I don't know if it came through, because the one that's in my refrigerator right now, because that's for tomorrow's luncheon party for our cycling group. But the one thing I don't do that I don't share with my sister, you typically use a Mixmaster,
mm-hmm.
which, as a baker, you know, if you over Mixmaster with flour, it gets denser and heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But since there's no flour in this at all, it's sour cream and cream cheese and that, I do it in the Cuisinart, which actually makes it lighter.
Mm.
And my sister goes, why does everybody prefer yours? I said, we use the same recipe. And my daughter says, Dad, did you share this with me? I go, yeah. She goes, well, what's the difference? I said, the Cuisinart. She goes, why don't you tell Bobby? You're my daughter. She's my sister.
You're a smart man. That's good. Well, would you do me a favor? I assume I could just look up the recipe online, but if you get a second, could you just shoot it to me? Because I'd like to try that for the holidays.
I will shoot it to you. I'd be more than happy to make it for you.
Are you sweet? You are amazing.
It's actually easy to make. It's not complicated.
We don't we don't want to give any of these secrets away.
It's very hard to do, Mark.
It's so difficult.
It's really difficult. Only a select few people are capable of doing this.
People have asked me for my key lime pie recipe, and I say, you can have it, but the one thing you have to swear that you will not tell people how easy it is to make this pie. Because they go,
Outside of the cooling process, that it's got a couple stages where it ends up 6 hours in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing takes about an hour.
Oh, that's good. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I love it. Well, it's so nice to hear from you. I know that you've been back in town for a while, and we've communicated, but it's just great to have you sneak in here as our last caller tonight. And we're going to send you an official WGN Radio T-shirt.
They are so cool.
Yes, and you're going to look great biking in that T-shirt.
And in fact, you have to send us a picture of you on the bike
with your T-shirt on. Yes,
absolutely. Is it okay? I've got two of Spike's hats.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Wear one of those. And bike pants. Be sure to be wearing bike pants, too.
In fact, you have to wear the T-shirt and both hats.
And both hats and bike pants.
The reason I called in, as far as the gluten-free, it's not just what you mentioned. You can actually Google. There's like any time you've got an autoimmune disorder, it could be lupus, rheumatoid, multiple sclerosis, thyroid, all these different things. They are all aggravated by gluten.
Yes. Yep. Yes, primarily
wheat. Absolutely true.
Any of this, if you don't have any of this, there's no reason whatsoever to avoid gluten.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
Some people said it's better for you. But, and the big thing that bothers me, because last year at the International Meeting of American Academy of Allergy and Asthma, it was about drug allergy, and I was bothered by, it was always about the drug and not about the additive chemicals, as you well know.
Yes.
That are in the pharmaceuticals.
Yes. Yeah, you were wonderful. You helped us so much when Steve was very ill. Mark, I hate to do this, but we're up against the clock. They're going to kick us out of here and make room for the Wolf Man. So,
and the Zamboni. So, great to talk to you, Mark.
Yes, Mark. Thank you.
This show has gone by fast. And yes, we will be. It won't happen tonight because Julian has had a long day. But sometime over the next week, you will get the blog and you will get some videos of the empty pockets.
And a listener says, what time do you start next week?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, 9 p.m.
Full show next week.
Yes.
Julian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thanks to Gabe and to Ron
and to Bob, the keeper of the big plug and driver of Zamboni.
And thanks most of all to you guys for hanging out with us. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.